state of Hawaii, they're trying to fit a round peg into a square hole. Yeah, we get our rules and regulations, but our commitment is to Iwi Kupuna and the protection of the family. Because if we approve this, it's later on this line, down the line, these guys get into one. Ha, ka, ka. I mean, I just... My motion stands.
Mahalo nui. Okay, anything else, folks? We can call for the vote. Okay, so again, a motion. Yes, Deputy Attorney General.
So I would just like to point out the distinction between this particular agenda item and the one from the last meeting. So in the last meeting, I think their approval was in part based on the fact that her sister actually verbally verified that the applicant of that second item was in fact her sister, blood related, and that their claims would be the same as far as the cultural descendancy. So I think, you know, if you wanted to extrapolate some sort of, not really a rule, but some practice from that is, you know, if you have a family member who is verifying on behalf of other family members, then that, you know, could be an acceptable way to look at it. Whereas in this case, you know, apparently she's not in touch with her family members and none of the other family members are vouching for her claim. So, you know, that sort of a distinction of this particular claim from the one that we looked at or you looked at the last meeting.
I have a response to that. So in other words, to these applications, what you're saying is, we just might as well just put these guys together on Palapala and on a borough council meeting. So that if these people are going for the same property, they say they're claiming to be the same descendants, why not just put this with the rest of Elizabeth and Claire folks? Because they're claiming the same descendant to the same family, that's on different paper, different canoes. So do we have the authority, Ms. Attorney General? We just put the two guys together and let them figure it down the road.
So if other borough like councils or not.
So apparently that's your legal advice and that's my suggestion to the board that and you know, because we don't like push them in the forward, we don't like walk backwards. We just put them together then. We put the Cecily, Claire, Elizabeth, and Paris. Just put them on the same one. Just staple them together. And we just forward and we just worry about it down the road.
Because, you know, what I mentioned last time was that other borough councils do it that way as well, that they'll recognize the family and they'll enumerate the family members that they are representing. And, you know, again, the claim, if there's a close familial record, you know, close familial tie, if you recognize one family member as a cultural descendant, technically they all should qualify as cultural descendants.
That was the point of my motion because of the last meeting in the minutes that she's supposed to contact somebody else and she never. So only person she contacted is spoke with Christian. In that minutes, we all got it. She's supposed to talk to somebody from the family. So just with that being said, we cannot listen to this today. We got to defer it because she didn't follow the minutes.
Exactly.
That's my point.
Clifford. Thank you, Desmond. Thank you.
Yeah, the deal is this. These are two specific differences. And what we have, we've established by policy that it's the council, not Shifty, not an employee. If that provision was made, then we wouldn't have necessitated this conversation. But one of the responsibilities that we have by setting this policy, we're basically making common law. We better really be diligent about what we're doing. Seriously. So the only reason why this comes up, if this woman was part of the Ohana, then yeah, and that's been the practice. But that's not the case for this particular situation. It's different. She's been contacted separately. She had to prove herself on her own condition. She did that with Shifty, not with us. So that's no good, in my opinion. So she's got to be in contact with us. So if we've gone this far, where Desmond has agreed to go down there to Kau, talk to the Whittingtons down there, and that. Then why aren't we following this? Why are we making this more difficult than it need be? I don't get that.
Mahalo, Clifford, Kalena.
don't know if Haumea was on the board, but we've done this in the past. We had a case in Kona, and I know you know the family. It's Aloha Santos's family, and there were a number of family members that we grouped together, I think maybe 10 all at once, and we recognized all of them, and there were cousins, and so we did it that way, and it was a big group recognition of the family members that also disagreed on whether to reinter or keep them in place. So they worked it out. It was the heaviest meeting I've ever attended. It brought the family together and it was resolved, but we've done that before. So this isn't something new. Just wanted to add that.
Mahalo, Kalani, for the historical record. Thank you. Anybody else, folks, with regards to this motion at this point in time?
I have something to say.
Norman.
I like to say what Kalana said is true. Every month, we all wishy-washy decisions. It's not the same decision all the time. And that is causing a lot of confusion. You know, we got to be, at most, try to follow the black book. And you, Mr. Chairman, got to make sure that we follow the black book. And if it's out of line, you know, the person is out of line, period. But, you know, that's why I keep fighting for this. People must be present. How do we know that person when sign up? He may be his sister when sign up. His cousin when sign him up. It happened before. It happened before. A cousin when these guys when sign up said he was family, but the guy wasn't even family, you know. And we almost passed him, you know, because he did not attend the meetings. You know, that showed that he didn't have the passion. You know what I mean? If you want to be a cultural descendant, you know, you want to fight for your people in your apua, you know, that's fine. But show the passion. If you got to come meeting, you got to come meeting. You know what I mean? So that's why I say I keep fighting for that. Be present, you know, and let's stop, like Kalena said, wishy-washy. Thank you.
Mahalo, Uncle Norman. Mahalo for reminding me of my responsibilities as the chairman of this council. Mahalo nui. I appreciate that. For the record, though, mahalo, Uncle. I appreciate that you're an elder, and I appreciate that Ike always have, always will. But at the same time, I'm trying to bring a little humanity to an inhumane Western process, unfortunately. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. And give everybody the opportunity to express the Manawa and their Ike as best they can without hopefully any kind of confrontation. That has always been the goal. But I thank you very much for always your Ike and your Manawa. Greatly appreciate it. Mahalo nui. Mahalo. Anybody else? Okay, then let's vote, folks. Okay, so the motion is, again, to defer business agenda item A until next meeting, until such time as our co-representative, which is Uncle Desmond Haumea, has an opportunity to converse with Auntie Marie Loretta Paris and other descendants with regards to this Evie concerns in Cove District. Okay, all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye or raising your hand, please. All those in favor of this of the motion, please say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
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 Okay, all those opposed? Aole. Okay, so Waiola is opposed. Opposed. Kalena, you abstain, correct?
Oh, yeah, abstaining.
Okay, so I think we have four ayes, two aoles, and one abstention. Based on my calculation, is anybody calculating that? Yeah, Christian, can somebody chime in, please? Good. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Then the ayes have it. So agenda item A has been deferred until the next meeting, folks. Again, thank you very much for this in-depth discussion. Mahalo nui. And I sure hope the next two brothers are here. It looks like it. I hope they are here. So we can move into agenda item B. Okay. And agenda item B is as follows. The ascendancy recognition application for Joshua Pajimola to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Kukui, Opa'e, Oahupo'a, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 8-7-010, Colon 009. Information, discussion, determination. Discussion and determination whether to recognize the applicant as a cultural descendant to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. Okay, all of you should have received in your packets and through email the letter from Hinano Rodriguez in regards to Joshua's application. First and foremost, is Joshua here? Call him Mike before we even proceed. Joshua, are you here, brother?
Josh.
Kaale, Kaale.
Yeah, Kaale.
You prefer to be called that? I'd rather call you Kaale as well, if you don't mind. Kaale, you're muted, yeah? You're muted, brother. You're muted.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, brother. Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha, cool.
So I just want to make sure you're here, and I just got to finish reading the stuff, and then we'll ask you for your ike, yeah? You know? Thank you, brother. Mahalo. So we have you actually here for two recognitions, one for lineal and one for cultural. The first one is the lineal descendancy, okay? So again, this comes from Hinano Rodriguez for the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal claim to Kamalahu, located at the above property. The named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land, Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, SHPD, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules
13-9. Hello, Mike. Those are two separate agenda items, 5B and 5C. So the one we're reading is actually for 5C.
Oh, Kalamai, man.
So they are separate agenda items.
Yeah, we're dealing with the culture one first, then.
Yeah, 5B.
Sorry, I just took them in the way that it came in my packet. Kalamai.
Who loaded that packet?
Yeah, nice packet. It's been a long time since we had a nice big packet like that. Use this envelope or small manila envelope. This one was the full size. I was amazed, impressed. Mahalo. Okay, so this is the cultural descendancy I'm looking at then right now. Item B, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for the correction. Mahalo nui. Kalamai, Kaale, excuse me. Okay, so again, let me go back. So we're on B again. Okay, so here we go. For the purpose of establishing substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or buried in the same Ahopuʻau district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant listed below has submitted information genealogically concerning connecting himself to J.W. Maele, who resided in the Ahopuʻau of Kukui Opae in the mid to late 1800s and later conveyed interest in Helu 1975 to Kikino Maele, a grandfather of the applicant. Joshua Pajimola, therefore the State Historic Preservation recommends the HIBC recognize the individual listed above as a cultural descendant to unidentified skeletal remains located in Kukui Opae, Ahupua, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 8-7-010-009. Okay, so again, State Historic Preservation Division is recognizing Joshua Pajimola Kaale as a cultural descendant to these remains. Then again, this is agenda item B. Okay, and Kaale, welcome to our meeting. Aloha, brother. Aloha.
Aloha. Thanks for having me, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Any manawa you'd like to share with us with regards to this here?
Really, my first Zoom meeting. This is the first time I've been involved.
I'm out.
My tuturam called out to me a while ago to do this, and my main concern is there's a lot of development going on. Excuse me, and I just want to make sure that all that's going on within the Ahupua'a is kosher, you know, because I know that there's a lot of ancient burials within the Ahupua'a, according to my family's mo'olelo. I live 6 miles away, so I pass it every day. And I just want to make sure that we can establish one way for protect them, because it's my kuleana. I have to do that. So I want to be pono about it all. Like I said, I'm nervous just because I don't know. This is my first time, and the approach about it. I have to do this, and that's why I'm here. And I have the blessing from my family. According to you guys' conversation earlier, I was listening to, I have taken the time to reach out to our major extended family, because there's a lot of us, thousands of us, you know. But I tried to speak with all the heads of each, you know, particular family as much as I could. My father is still alive, so, you know, he is actually the technical next in line lineal descendant. But I have the blessing from my entire immediate family to represent us. And at least, you know, there's been a lot of weird, I don't like to go as far as say hakaka, but yeah, there's been stuff with the land change over since the Mahele, and, you know, land going from Grandpa JW down to the kids, and weird stuff going on. So I just, the kupuna has been neglected for a very long time in all that area and just kind of forgotten. I feel like just because the value of the land, because the family wasn't holding a piece of the actual physical land, that they forgot that we were supposed to malama them, you know. Naivi is still sitting there waiting for us to malama them. And I don't know. I just feel like a lot of our family problems would kind of dissipate if we would just go back and do what we're supposed to do. And I really cannot explain to you guys in any way or like technical term of why I'm here, except for the fact that I'm supposed to be here. And it's an emotional issue for me just because of, you know, we're 2020 and we're still trying to make sure that we, our history and our, we survive the changes going on, you know? And I just believe that that's the legacy of my life is to, if I can at least keep the protection of them going, you know, I can leave them, you know, don't forget about them basically, because a lot of the family members, it's not really first and foremost on their mind, you know? And I understand we all have to take care and we get caught up in the way we have to take care of ourselves. But going back to the point at hand is, yes, I see land for sale, and I just know that Tutudem is down there. They're up in the hills. They're all around. And I've had the opportunity to see a few burials, but there's still a few that I haven't technically been able to access, you know, because of certain protocols and red tape you have to go through to be able to just, you know, personally make sure on our behalf of our family, you know. I don't know. I don't want to go on with boring conversation and take up too much time. I'm speaking from my heart. And, but yeah, the reason why I'm here is solely for make sure that they're okay and that nobody, you know, I'm not, you know them. And,
take your time, brother.
Mahalo. You know? Yeah. Mahalo, Kali.
It's funny, man.
Kalamai, I'm really nervous. It's new to me, but yet it's I don't know. It's familiar to me, you know. I had the opportunity in the past to malama burial grounds, Anahola, Hawaii, Anahola Homestead. That was, you know, when in my teenage years, 17, 18. And, but anywho, there was a real strong call to make sure I malama this. And it really started off with a really head first in when they had a partial government shutdown and, you know, being one direct lineal descendant of Keawe Ikekahi, you know, I thought it was important for us as lineal descendant. There was a few different of us, of families went down to make sure we malama because the Opala cans was getting overflowed and, you know, people were trying to camp inside the park, inside the royal grounds. People was trying to build fire pits and tight rope walking in between the palms. And even though it's a reconstruction of the Haleokeawe, you know, people were still inside the heiau after dark, trying to take pictures, climbing on a big wall. So, you know, it's just a matter of bringing consciousness to those guys. It wasn't a matter of, you know, I know I'm going to sidetrack, but it all refers to our tuturem, you know, and basically the principle behind us and why we take care of them. So that is what kind of pulled me onto the trail. So when I started talking to family members, my family members who were basically considered specialists in our genealogy and stuff, and I was concerned about what was going on around Pu'u'onua'una'una'u down there and all the kuleana that reside around it, Ki'ilai next door, it led me on my path back to Kukui Opai, which was already a familiar subject within our family, because, you know, it's always, it's the story of our family's history. You know, my grandfather, J.W. Maele, you know, he walked on the land, you know, and, but so that's where, that's the path. It started off with the partial government shutdown and doing my part and taking, you know, the kuleana to inform people. It wasn't to swear at people and scold them for what they're doing, but just to bring consciousness, like, hey, you know, you got to take care of the place, even though the government is partially shut down. And I ended up building a relationship with the park rangers down there. And I realized that it's all lineal descendants who malama the park itself. So I was able to talk to family members down in there as well. And all around, you know, I have a family member, Zera Kekwevo, who is, he lives down there on Kuleana land. And, you know, he had a genealogy. So I was able to talk to him, you know, really intimately about what was going on. And he was partially the one who directed me back to Kukui Opai. And so there I was, you know, I'm here, and I just want to make sure that they're going to be okay. You know, that's all. I'm hoping that my Mopuna and guys, they can help remember me down the line and take care. So it's my duty to my duty to do this. And it's hard to get everybody within my family on this same type of mindset, in a sense. You know, it's not like they don't think about it, but I cannot really have this conversation with too many people. I can obviously with my father, because he supports every step I take, and all my 9 aunties and uncles, his brothers and sisters. I have the support of all of them. So it gives me comfort in that sense. At least I know that I'm not going, you know, have everybody. I know we have outside families like Haumea was saying. We have a lot of intermarried families, and like I said, I know there's certain discrepancies, and I've reached out and I've made it known to everybody. And I don't want to say discrepancy in a negative sense, but people may have their own personal agendas on how you post to do them and whatever and this and that. My thing is, there's no, the value in this, what we still doing, is the perpetual taking care of our tuturem. That is the value in it. I don't, it's not about your portion of quarter acre or this or the, that's not where I'm at. And I just trying to, that's what I've been trying to convince my family. Like, it's not about when we go and take care of it. I mean, tutus, they're fertilizing the land over there for a lot of people right now. And we haven't been able to go over there and malama them properly. I've tried, and I had rebuttal in a certain sense. And I went through a really big ordeal last year, but I came out on top. You know, and at least in a sense of no charges against me and all of this kind of stuff, you know, the people in the area didn't like the idea that I was there. And I didn't know which way to approach it. I just wanted to cause an action to get a reaction, and I got it, you know. And but for the most part, yes, I would like to see what I could do. I mean, I'm in contact with my family, and I'm still reaching out to more family as we speak. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to me. And if this consideration, or I'm not too sure what this all consists of or what I'm going to, but I just would like to. I like protect my tuturem, and if I can do that all the way on the way out, and at least get it. I don't know where we are now, but at least get it to a point where my kids at least gonna have to follow suit. You know, I'm 46 years old. I had children young. I have 2 daughters, and I have 3 mo'opuna, 2 kekikane, 1 wahine girl, and I just had a brand new son too, and. So I would like them, the legacy to leave behind was to make sure that they don't forget where they come from, because I just want to keep the original history within our family, you know, that story, because you know how things change. And yeah, that's all. It's very important to me. I'm not really much of a materialistic fellow, but spiritually and culturally, it's I'm gonna make sure I live it with every senior and my, you know, any EK I have within me, I'm going to try to live it. But anyways, I feel like I'm going sideways. Thank you guys again. it's rare for me to be able to talk about this freely with a group of people. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right on, Kali. Mahalo nui, brother, for sharing. That was a breath of fresh air after our last discussion we just had. So thank you, brother. Mali again, yeah? Mahalo nui, brother.
Yeah.
All I got to say, before I let the other council members ask any questions or EK for me, I just want to say, as been told by many elders, many are called. Very few people hear the call, and even less people answer the call. I thank you for answering the call. Thank you very much, yeah? You're on a great path. It's a lot of fun, man. Believe me, yeah?
I feel very privileged, to be honest. So, thank you.
So, I'm going to open up for other council members. Uncle Desmond?
Yeah, mahalo kale. Mahalo nui. I honor, I respect your passion. What I really enjoy is that you set in a pathway for your mo'opuna. And that by sharing your ano, that you on the right path. It's a huge responsibility that you've undertaken, but to take this first step is a correct pathway to leaving your legacy. Those stories, as mo'olelo, as you mentioned, when they talk about ka'ale, in generations to come, they will remember Nakala Ka'ale for stepping through this door of both worlds, trying to balance that. And I feel you, because many of us here has been involved in that, and that's why we're here today. And mahalo for that. Awesome. I have one question for you, Kale.
Hi.
You know your Na'ohana Kupihe?
Kupihe. It's familiar to me, Kupihe. Yes. I don't know exactly.
So that was one of the first settlers that came to Kona. Years ago, back in, I think it was the 1600s, I think, the Kupihe. And you have lineal descendants in Uahuka and Uapo, Marquesas. Their name is the Putoa Arai. I think, I forget his name, Rapoto. You like hook up with them? I can hook you up with them. I was just with Zoom with them the other day. And they mentioned Kupihe. Then that's your Ohana, Ahuna and Pajimola. You know, Val, I know Ku'ule. I think she's still in school.
Ku'ule, she graduate already. But yes, that's my baby sister.
Oh, yeah. Because, I know. I coach Kamehameha, so. But mahalo, bro. You know, and you're not done yet, man. Yeah. Gotta fill up the tank. Holomua, mahalo.
You know,
mahalo.
It's...
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I just wanted to say it's been an interesting journey. Just tough. I mean, to prove, I don't know. I feel like so, you know, this day and age, the way things are, it's so, I mean, I'm not with moving forward all the way anymore, but I just really believe that we cannot forget about what's going on in the past and what brought us to this place where we stay today, you know, and the people that we come from, you know, and, but anyways, I get nervous about it. It's a tough situation for me just because of the simple fact that this is like probably the deepest conversation I got to have about, besides being able to speak with Chris and Kea, aloha my brothers. I've been able to go to them with many questions before leading up to this meeting and stuff. And they've been really helpful and nothing but help to try to assist me. And, it's a very touchy subject in a sense of, I feel like I have to try to prove, I've always had to try to prove who I am, you know, and and people, strangers, you know, the Malahini trying to tell me otherwise. I don't know. I know I start getting into a weird emotional zone. I don't know where I'm trying to get with it. It's except for the fact that I'm thankful for being able to share, you know, and talk about this because not everybody really cares that much about it, you know. I mean, in what I see around, you know. There's certain areas in where the land stay in Kukui Apai. I cannot tell if they altered it disinterred, you know, burials or not, because I just cannot get in there and access it. And I don't know if I don't know how to call it, accepted or being recognized as the burial council helps my chances to be able to at least get closer to see what is going on, you know, because right now I'm being fenced out of certain areas and technically as beach access, but you know, on certain TMK maps or whatever, but then, you know, the private residents that go, that live down the hill and put their gate, and I cannot really go see. I have a direct, you know, access to the area unless I go way down the other side, Pebble Beach, and hit the Alaloa and walk for a couple miles to get there, you know?
More than 2 miles.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yes, I that's pretty much, I mean, I don't know what else to say except for us to come with truth and just love for my culture and my family. And maybe I can set it in for the rest of the family, you know, to be a part of it. Because, I mean, it's easy for them to show that they related to me. It's way more difficult to go through the journey and find the genealogy to, you know, I mean, as far as doing the research, it took me a little while to to go back that far. But I just wanted to benefit my family as a whole, but give my kids something to, you know, to really, I mean, really, this is all we have left. I mean, is the way I feel it, you know, that's all we have left is that's our history. That's our tutu them. Let's take care of them. You know, the land can keep feeding us good if we can malama them, you know, maybe a few of the, if there was any type of weird animosities or stuff going on with the certain branches of family, maybe they can see that, look, the time for Ho'oponopono is now, you know, we don't have to, you know, whatever was going on with you guys, you know, to them way back, you know, that's not us, you know, and we can reconcile between each other to make sure that everybody is okay. Excuse me, everybody. I'm done. I just feel like I'm just yapping off or nothing. I feel really extra privileged to be.
Hemo, bro. It all. Hemo.
Before I let Uncle Norman, your turn. Uncle Norman, you want something to say, please? Questions?
Comments? Yeah. Aloha, Kali.
Aloha.
I just wanted to say aloha to you for coming to this meeting to trying to get cultural descendancy and later on lineal. I have been talking every month when everybody come up for cultural descendants that to be, please be present at the meeting. So you have, you know, fulfill some of my expectations. One, you're here. Number two is your passion. And, you know, and just those two things is enough for me. I like to show the rest of our barrel council here, this is what we need to do. Brother got to step up. He stepped up. Okay? So if he step up, everybody step up. Okay? Let's get on the same page. I thank you, my brother. You showed everybody what should be done in the right way. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Nakala.
Mahalo, Uncle Norman. Always words of wisdom from our elders. Thank you so much. Mahalo. Anybody else? Any other council members? Anything for Kaale for his cultural determination? He still has one more determination after this, though, yeah? Yeah, that's his little determination. Okay, only last thing I want to say again, Kali, is again, mahalo nui for this. I felt that one thing COVID has done is forced people to slow down and look at other kuleana that we wanted to take on, but didn't have time for other reasons. So that's one thing for sure. And the one thing that makes me aha about hearing you is not having, that this is the only platform you have to talk about these things, yeah? So that just tells me that maybe we need more of these discussions or just kuka sessions where it's not just once a month we come together as Kanaka to talk about burials, but have some kind of platforms in our districts. Maybe as district representatives should hold regular meetings in our communities. Just so people have a chance to share, man. I'm just thinking about that for myself in Hamakua, yeah? Being back down to YPO a lot more. We're opening five more acres down there, opening more taro patches. So, and it's reconnecting with our families back there again. Well, that's one thing COVID has done for YPO is that shut everybody else out. So pretty much just the families who should be there are there. And just the rebuilding of the families have been taking place this last 9 months is phenomenal. Everybody coming out to kuku each other. And like Kale said, issues that our kupuna had 3 or 4 generations ago, it's like, you know, it's kind of like they were arguing over what type of bubble gum to chew. You know, it wasn't Maniti back then, but it seems like it now, yeah? But we've been able to rectify it. So anyway, try to maybe look at some other platforms where we can have better, even more discussions so that people can feel that they have a way to talk the story, share. And so I'm highly planning for that, brother. Thank you so much for that, yeah?
Thanks.
Ohana, we have no other questions or comments or anything for Kaale. If we could have a motion with regards to the acceptance or non-acceptance of his cultural descendancy claim.
I move to accept the application for cultural descendancy.
I second the motion.
Okay, so a motion has been made by Uncle Desmond and seconded by Kalena, Uncle Norman, and Wyola to accept the descendancy recognition application of Joshua Pajimolo to unidentified human skeletal remains located in Kukui, Opai, Ahupua, South Kona, District Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 8-7-00010:009. Any further discussion on the motion? If there are none, all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay, all those opposed? Okay, the motion is unanimous. Mahalo nui loa, folks. Mahalo nui loa, Kaale. And now we're going to go to agenda item C of our business today. And again, this is in reference to Kaale again, yeah? So here we go, folks. So
I move to accept this application as a lineal descendant, accept what is written on this application, and move it forward.
Okay, so motion has been made by Uncle Desmond. Who seconded? Uncle Clifford, you seconded.
Okay.
Motion has been made by Desmond and seconded by Clifford that we accept lineal descendancy recognition application of Joshua Pajimola to the skeletal remains of Kamala Hu, interred at the Ahuna family gravesite, SIHP number 50-10-57-1967, located at Kukui, Opa'e, Oahupua'a, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 8-7-010:015. Any discussion, folks, on this? Again, this is lineal descendancy. Yes, Scott.
I want to ask Kaale, Kamala, who is what to you?
Kamala, who is a grand auntie, great, 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 great grand auntie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no. Any other further questions? Comments, anything?
I'd like to say something.
Uncle Norman, please.
I give my vala ao. The kind today. Oh, I don't know. But, Kaale, for this lineal descendancy, I'd like to just make sure certain that you know that lineal is direct, yeah? You got to know related, not know, but related to that certain grave. Only that certain grave, not you know, I mean, if Tutu Lady or Tutu Mese buried down the other side, that's an entirely different, you know, you got to come back again. But for this one here, you related as a lineal, they say that you related to that EV. Okay? We only talking about that EV. So I think you're good, but I just wanted to clarify with you, you know, some people don't know what lineal descendants are. Yeah, but they are the highest. They make all the decisions. You know what I mean? They're even higher than us, you know, in certain situations. But I just wanted to explain that to you. You know, I don't know if you had the mana or, you know, but yeah. Thank you.
Mahalo, Uncle Norman. And Kaale, in case you didn't know, Uncle Norman is our Kona representative. Yeah, he represents our Kona district. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Mahalo, me. Thank you. Anybody else? Mahalo, Uncle Norman. Anybody else? Anything? Okay, I don't see anything else. Then if we can have a motion be made already and seconded, let's take the vote, though. All those in favor, stipulate by saying aye and raising your hand, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion is carried. So congratulations, Kaale, as a being accepted as a cultural leader of the Senate. And again, we wish you well always, brother. Thank you very
much. Thank you very much, you guys.
Mahalo, brother. You have a great, great day. Aloha to your family always.
And do I exit the meeting now?
Yeah. You like to hang on and listen to everything else? Okay. It's up to you.
I think you want to stay and listen to all the stuff.
I'm just going to hang out with you guys a little while, if that's okay.
Hiki, can do. Okay. You good to 8 o'clock tonight, though? Just joking.
Don't set me up. I'll hold you to that. You be talking. You looking at my face till 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay. No, brother. If you want to hang on, please do, man. Please do. Yeah.
We love Mahalo, everyone. Very much. Appreciate it.
Right on, Kali.
Mahalo. Okay. Mahalo, everybody. Ohana, we're now going to go into business item agenda D. And this is let's see, descendancy recognition application of Kiavi K. Ala.
Alapai.
I know it's Alapai. Alapai or Alapai? I just want to make sure I'm saying,
It's all good. Any kind. Okay, Alapai.
I just want to be, I don't want to be insulting, that's why. Thank you very much.
It's all good.
Okay. So before us right now, folks, this subject is the Descendancy Recognition Application of Kiawe K. Alapai to Unidentified Human Skeleton Remains located in Oma to Ahupua, North Kona District, Island Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-007:038, and open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:007. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains of the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, SHPPD, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or buried in the same Mahopoua or district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant listed below has submitted information genealogically connecting himself to Kama, brother of Ka'akau, who received land and resided in the Ahopoua of O'oma II in the mid to late 1800s. Kiawe K. Alapai, therefore, the State Historic Preservation Division recommends that the Hawaii Island Burial Council recognize the individual listed above as a cultural descendant to the unidentified skeletal remains located at O'oma to Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 7-3-007:038, and open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:007. Period. Okay. Aloha, Kiawe. Welcome to our meeting.
Aloha.
Introduce yourself, brother, and let us know. Give us your manao. Mahalo.
Well, I'm running for lineal descent. I don't know about the cultural. I don't know if that's two separate things.
Okay. Well, what we have here, we have in front of us.
It's cultural, yeah.
It's cultural, yeah. You applied as a lineal.
Yeah, I applied as lineal. I'm lineal right through this whole. Already, I've been through the Leeward Planning Commission, and I went through that lineal descendancy chart thing. I got approved by those guys, but this is different.
Now, this is
what so you want me to just drop my genealogy real quick, or what? That shows I'm going lineal now. I'm not doing cultural. I'm not a cultural.
Move this then.
Okay, folks, so basically, again, the council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to HAR 13-300-25, parentheses, D, close parentheses. The council may close a meeting whenever a location or description of the Hawaiian Burial Site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. Okay, just FYI with that, okay? Kia, Christian, do we know anything about this situation?
I'm not too sure. I'm thinking if it was a cultural descendancy recognition, are the remains that is the kupuna that you're tying back to identify?
I see as lineal descendants, there's collateral and then there's lineal and then collateral. For me, my genealogy ties back to basically everybody who's Hawaiian today. from the past, prehistoric, from 1778 to today, is related to me due to the practices of incest, what modern Western civilization used it as, all Hawaiians is tied, meaning they're all some ways lineal or collateral. But for me, I'm a lateral, I'm not cultural.
Yeah, so the only reason I asked that is because for the purposes of how descendancy recognition works with respect to SHPD, is that the descendant can connect back to an identified person. So, you know, we're not connecting back to the Ahupua'a, you know, we're not connecting back to, you know, whoever the remains are that you're tracing for this meeting, that person is identified. So you would be able to go to that specific grave and say, I know who this person is so-and-so, and this is my relation to them.
And the burial site is unrecognized or recognized according to the burial or the
For a lineal descendant, the burial site would need to be recognized. You know, it would have to be identified. If it's an unidentified burial site, meaning that, you know, nobody knows exactly who that person is, nobody can say, I know who this person is, and you can name that person, then, you know, that from our point of view, that would be a cultural descendant, because, you know, you wouldn't be a lineal descendant if you can't trace who that person was, because the genealogy you submit would need to be the genealogy connecting yourself to a specific person.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, what am I going to say? Before the 1800s, we had what they call oral history. And people who passed on were, like, let's, for instance, Kamehameha, where was he buried? Some say Kohala, some say Kohanaiki, some say Africa. Who knows? Nobody knows. But it's the same term as if Kamehameha or Wan Kahuna of my family or a Mahi'ai, a farmer, or anyone that's lineal descent in the sense of tracing their genealogies prior to the 1778. That's so what I'm saying is, when people find burials and they cannot identify, okay, that's my Tutuman's brother, which the deed on the property is my Tutuman and his brother Ka'akau. But since you guys cannot identify the exact burial or who the person is, that's what I'm saying. We don't know, but all we know is that that's the tutu, the families that live through that ahupua is my family. That's why I can identify their kamaka, their part of my tree. But before I get into that, let me just drop my tree first. Then we can go into that, or no?
Real quick,
I don't know how you guys running things, that's why. Because in the Beaver Planning Commission, I had to drop my genealogy, and then they made a vote and said,
now, Kevin, is this on Leeward Oahu?
No, Leeward, the Planning Commission over here, the
Kona side.
Yeah, Kona side, correct.
Okay. Just making sure. Only because I hear Leeward use a lot on Oahu. I hardly ever hear it used here, but that makes sense to me.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, don't need to be sorry. That makes sense to me. It makes total sense to me. It's not a problem at all. No problem at all.
Yeah, I went to them like a few times to register my lineal thing.
Because I guess, I'll try to clarify a little more, is that if there's a burial site, for example, Oma, can you go up there and I can say, this is Uncle Kavika, this is Auntie Harriet, this is Auntie Mary. Can you actually acknowledge who's buried in each one of the burials?
No, see, that's one of the things about Hawaiian burial sites. You cannot that's because we never have names, we never have plaques, we never give, that's all.
Calvin, I hear you, brother, and I totally agree with you. I hear where you're coming from. I'm just I'm not citing on where, how the SHPA identifies these. I'm just saying their criteria they use, as far as I understand, to distinguish between a lineal descendant and a cultural descendant, is again a cultural descendant somebody who knows that their family came from that Ahupua, but can't really specifically say which barrel is associated with them. But they know their family has a genealogical connection to a place. Yeah. A lineal descendant is somebody, if there are graves that are found, or they know, a lineal descendant is somebody that would know exactly where the grave sites are and would be able to, and again, remember now, it's not in the Lake Akalau's definition. This is, as far as I understand, the state's definition. Yeah.
Of course.
You can correct me as well. Yeah. Please. Or Deputy Attorney General, either or.
First time for me for this process.
But again, a lineal descendant is someone, again, can I actually say this is Auntie so-and-so, this is Uncle so. Could go there, and we do know in traditional burials, there's no graves, there's no headstones, right? It's just depending on where you get buried. But let's say we go to a gravesite that's traditional, and we know, and you could go there and say, there are four burials here. This is Uncle so-and-so, this is Auntie so-and-so, this is Cousin so-and-so, gotcha. This is the brother. That's how the state looks at you being
that's living. Okay. Then I'll do the lineal descendant according to that. So I'm going to address.
Hold on just a minute, Uncle Norman.
I just want to say something that on your application, they have you down as a culture. Now you want to say that you want to go lineal. That is fine. But now you got to do the paperwork all over again.
No. That's so fine.
You cannot just say that, you know, you're going to drop your papers off and then you recognize. Because they're going to have to research you. Okay. Research the grades.
Yeah, no worries.
And Inano got to do his job. So, yeah. You know, the process has to start all over again.
Yeah. Okay. So then for this case, the cultural, since it's under the item, I'll run cultural. Is that better?
Okay, hold on. So, Kael, you had a question, some comment?
Yeah, you know, I think on the application itself, you know, I think the idea is everybody originally applies as a lineal, because that's what, you know, they would aim to
obtain.
Yeah, but, you know, it's in the process of when we do the genealogical research that, you know, so what we send to you guys is our recommendation. So based on our findings, you know, we've found that an applicant would be a cultural descendant. And one of those reasons would be, you know, if we couldn't identify the burial site. You know, if we go back to the last agenda item, you know, that lineal descendancy application, that was a headstone burial. You know, there was a headstone there identifying the burial, and the applicant submitted genealogical paperwork showing how he was connected to that person buried in the grave.
That's pertaining to this.
No, it's not necessarily that somebody needs to reapply with different paperwork. I mean, they could submit additional documents.
Right.
But you know, I think how we word the agenda items as well is we kind of leave it up to the council. So that's why we're discussing the descendancy recognition application. You know, in the past we used to say lineal or cultural recognition of so-and-so. So we have descendancy recognition application. You know, you guys have our recommendation that we recommend the council recognize Kiawe as a cultural descendant. But you guys are welcome to hear his story and what he has to say. In terms of reapplying, like how Uncle Norman was talking about, you know, the only time it would make sense to reapply for a lineal descendant is, you know, if he was able to identify somebody. So he would come back and say, okay, you know what? Yeah, I am able to identify so-and-so, and I can, here's my genealogy that to substantiate that connection. I think for today, I mean, let's see what he has to say, because I know right now it seems like he is disagreeing with our recommendation. So maybe the council can just hear what he has to say, and then you guys can kind of figure out what direction to take from there.
Mahalo nui for your recommendation. Kia, any council members? In concurrence, Clifford. Department. Deputy Attorney General, please. Clifford first, and Deputy Attorney General.
Yeah, since we're making the case that the petitioners have to come before us, and Chiave is here, we should listen to his motion for his claim. And if it requires additional paperwork, he should be given credit for having appeared before us already. So he wouldn't have to come back. If it necessitates follow-up, he shouldn't have to come back. He's here once, he should hear his claim. If his claim matches up, then it should be a goal, which is my own mano. And I default to the council.
Mahalo. Thank you. Deputy Attorney General.
So I would just want to remind the council what the rule says with regards to cultural descendants. Mm-hmm. So, what KO was saying is absolutely correct. It says where the submitted information fails to establish lineal descent, but establishes genealogical connections between the claimant and Native Hawaiian ancestors who once resided or were buried or both in the same ahupua'a or district, the department shall provide the council with a written assessment and a recommendation regarding recognition of the claimant as a cultural descendant. So really it is one application, and the lineal descendancy is, as he said, to an identified set of remains. So you know exactly who is buried there. And if you cannot establish that connection to an identified set of remains, but you establish a connection to the district or ahupua'a, then you can be recognized as a cultural descendant. So okay. That's the process that is set forth in the rule.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. So Kiabe, so I just want to make sure. So if we pursue, we continue this line of discussion and recognition of cultural descendancy for Kiabe, that does not exclude him from coming back later and trying to be a lineal, correct? Okay, I'm getting head nods. So that's, especially from the Deputy Attorney General, Mahalo, I'm getting a head nod, so that's important. Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you very much. So Kiabe, would you like to pursue the cultural claim, or would you like... go ahead. What is your request? What would you like to do?
Well, according to Kiel, he states that I'm already applying for lineal descendancy. My application is already for lineal descendancy. But in the case that I cannot verify the certain burials, that's where cultural descendant comes along, and where it's a Hawaiian remains. You don't know who it is directly, then you're cultural. That's correct, right?
Totally.
So I'm going to connect myself to that property and give you a name to push me as a lineal descendant. Because the application, according to Kiel, states that if I know the remains, and I know the remains. So if I give you the remains of the burial, now you guys are going to have to vote me in as a lineal descendant or not. Because I'm identifying the burial. I know who it is. Gotcha?
And you know exactly where that burial would be located.
I don't know. It's on OOMA. It's on the tax map key, according to the information that was sent to me. And I'll give you the name. Okay. And it's up to the board to acknowledge if I'm a lineal descendant or not.
Mahalo nui kiabe for that. Thank you. Deputy Attorney General.
Okay, so, I did not get the materials that the council members did. But the question I have is whether or not the materials that were submitted had included the name of the person who is supposedly buried in that TMK and who is being identified or who he wants to identify at this time. If it did not include that specific name, then Shifty could not have evaluated whether or not he in fact qualified as a lineal descendant of that person. So basically, no name was given. They had no person to connect him to, so they couldn't make the lineal descendancy connection. They couldn't evaluate whether or not that was that was the case. And being presented with that information now, I think puts the council at a disadvantage because it doesn't follow the process, which is that it is supposed to be vetted by SHPTE first. And the council, you know, doesn't have the benefit of the SHPTE research to say, to verify, yes, this is the person that is buried there and that he does have a lineal connection to that person.
Mao, Deputy Attorney General, thank you. Clifford?
But counsel, I would argue reasonable doubt. But there's no way authentically SHPTE or anybody can prove that Keawe is not a lineal descendant. Only his ohana can argue that. So if there's requirement of written this and that and whatever that thing is, in absence of that, it's not at 100%. So that if we already established the precedent that, that the petitioner must come before the council, and Keawe Alapai is before us now, then his testimony should be weighed based upon what we've established to be the protocol that we're willing to move forward on.
Mahalo Clifford, Deputy Attorney General, and then Uncle Norman.
So, you know, when SHPTE, and, you know, obviously Kea or Christian can correct me, but when SHPTE does an evaluation of whether or not there is a lineal descendancy connection there, they look at the burial, they look at the information that is provided regarding the identification of the person in that burial, and they will try to collaborate that information with other outside sources of information. So they will look at other burial records, they'll look at, you know, death certificates or any other kind of information they might have that's available to collaborate the identity of that person. Without having that information being provided ahead of time as part of their evaluation, they could not go through that process. And so again, you know, their recommendation was made on incomplete information, and it's questionable whether or not the council wants to go forward based on that incomplete information.
Mahalo. Thank you, Deputy Attorney General. Uncle Norman?
Yeah, I'd like to say on conversation with Hinano that when he has an application, he gets all the information from the people he's applying, and the genealogy and everything is given to him, and it's on record. And he kind of determines at that point if you can qualify for a lineal, or you can qualify. If you cannot, then he'll put you to direct descendant. I mean,
cultural.
And he will basically recommend to us if it should be lineal or cultural. So I think I'm not sure if you applied for a lineal or, but like Kea said, they start off as a lineal and go to cultural. So, you know, as far as Hinano, his paperwork is pretty much, from what I understand, is Hinano is just like the godfather, you know what I mean? But he's all his research, his recommendations, it's usually on point. If he felt like, you know, he was a cultural, he's gonna tell you as a cultural, and then if not, if he can prove, hey, better for you. You know what I mean? Better for you. But I would go with the cultural. And then if you want to pursue the lineal, yeah, keep going on, keep file for the lineal. But you cannot just say, oh, because the mistake was made without no corrections in the paperwork that we're going to approve this. That's the wishy-washy I'm talking about to our culture, our council members. Okay? Let's do it. Let's do it right. Make a component, you know, we like make a component for you. but we don't like go make them, you know, all kapakai. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much, brother.
Mahalo, Norman. Thank you.
Mahoney.
Scott, going.
I think the problem is with Shifty. We had this problem before where a group of Ohana filed as lineal, got rejected in the paperwork and suggested that we recommend them as cultural. So that's the problem. Right now, when the guy knows he's trying to attach himself as lineal to an unidentified gravesite, automatically they should throw that thing out and tell him you have to come in as a cultural. So I think the problem, I think Shifty should fix that thing up, because people like brother right here, he applied for lineal. He didn't apply for cultural, but all of a sudden he comes to us as cultural. He should have been stopped, if he had to be stopped, at the very beginning and told, you know, this thing is unidentified, it should be cultural. Or identified if he can relate, if he can go right to that specific grave. Right. So I think Shifty going to have to adjust that thing, because we already ran into that problem before when a whole bunch of them came thinking they were lineal and they were all recommended cultural.
Yeah.
Mahalo, Scott. Mahalo, Nui.
So I don't know how you guys like work home. Like, you know, it seems like he says, she said, I did, you did. I don't know.
Kalena and then Desmond.
You guys go.
Sorry, Kiave. Kalamai.
Oh, yeah. Kalena.
Aloha, Kiave. Mahalo for coming forward.
Aloha.
I can see what's going on. We have in our agenda, it's written to recognize you as a cultural descendant. So I'm not sure what the paperwork was that you submitted to Shifty, but for today, we have it written as cultural. And if you want to reapply again as a lineal.
No, because, because I took the time and effort to show up to you guys' meeting, and I'm ready to show you, this is my tutus, this is the brother sister. Obviously, there's a little he said, she said going on. Where, like I said, Shifty should have notified me and says, you know what, Mr. Alapai, according to your application, before we even get to this video conference, state that, hey, we're going to put you on as cultural because you cannot identify a certain burial. But since it was Shifty's mistake, it shouldn't be a burden on me to take for cultural. I'm ready as a lineal. I didn't come here for cultural. So it's not my mistake that Shifty didn't notify me on the paperwork. Because then I would have got the paperwork done, and then I would have came to this meeting, and both would be like this. But see, paperwork, lost in translation, we get confusion. I'm not confused. I know who I am. I know where I'm born. I know my tutus. You guys' job is to prove that I'm not.
That's right.
And Shifty cannot. Nobody can. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. I came here to be a lineal descendant, not a cultural descendant. My tutu little big chief of this Kohanai Iki, for me, for being cultural. That's my tutu. That's my popo. I represent them. And I know who I am. Like I said, I don't just come here with, I don't know, maybe. Or we're losing 20 years of gap of cannot connect. I connect. That's what I'm saying. Too much, you know, the law states this, the law states that. But the law, where you even pass me for lineal descendancy? With the commission, I have to go in front of the board. You're an attorney and all. I have to go. My name, Kiavi Alapai. Type them in. You can see all my cases. With pre-development, I stopped with my aunt Simi. And it tells you right there, Mr. Kiavi Alapai, by Mr. Vitusik, the chamber, Mr. Unger, without a reasonable doubt that Mr. Olapai is a lineal descendant. So then I come to this because it's a different process, but in not ways, not so different, because they operate with the same SHPD protocol as this should be. So, how you guys like work on?
Hey, Desmond?
That was before him.
No, Desmond, and you, Clifford.
I have to respect the chair.
You're next, Clifford, yes.
You know, it's a good point. We're the evidence. We're not the crime. And I understand what you're saying. Unfortunately, because of the laws that we are force fed, we got to only look at what's before us and decide. I understand what you're saying about, you know, it should be the Kuleana of the Godfather to find out about this stuff. But my question with AJ here, what Scott had said, okay, for cultural, he's the man in lineal. Do we have the authority as the Borough Council to accept a change or amendment to the application and for Shifty to really look into the matter? Because, you know, our history, I know that, our history, many of you are involved with that. I will kapalapala ho'i. So we got to go move forward. So with that being said, I defer this to our Attorney General or to CARE. Do we have the authority to change this palapala and then change a few words on it? That's what it is. It's a few words. And according to Mr. Alapai, he, and what Scott said, he should be stopped at the door rather than let it go through and change it on his own. If you have it wrong, then it should be evidence-based. That's my only question. Do we have the authority to change it to Lina as a board?
I'll jump in really quick. I'm sure
wait. I'm next.
Wait.
But yes, he just asked me a question.
Okay, I'm next.
Well Clifford, okay. It might be easier if he can answer the question first. It might, just in case. Because he did actually ask the Deputy Attorney General and or shipping representative to give us some clarification.
No, because you're on the wrong track. You're speaking about what you don't know. You don't know your scope of authority. And based upon that unknown, you're going to make a ruling. You're going to ask the state for a decision that we're here at council representing the community. Well, here, this is what I have to say. And counselor, you can hear me.
Go ahead.
The doctrine of severability. Not to change the statute or how it is, but to consider that we are a council here to hear the petition of the people. But the state doesn't make that decision. We are the final authority on that. I'm very clear on that. I'm very clear about my appointment by the governor. So given the doctrine of severability, what I'm arguing is that Mr. Alapai is before us now. He should make his petition and given upon what he submits as evidence. He's already given a testimony to say he's been to court and other courts. And they've run him through this mill of what? He hasn't changed. And there's nobody on this council here or board or state can factually say he is not the descendant. So this testimony is upon him. The fraud and liability that rests with him. But if he already has established a precedent in the courts determining who he is, why would this court, why would this council argue for more redundancy at the expense of the people that we're here to serve? That makes absolutely no sense to me. But if you don't know what your role is or your scope of authority is as a council member, it's your problem. That's not the entire council's problem. But that's all I have to say. So what I'm saying is I would even motion we hear Mr. Alapai's petition to be a lineal descendant and we vote on it. And if our vote as a council doesn't count, then we've got a bigger problem here.
Yeah, why are we here?
Exactly. We're not the shadow for the council or for the state. So, you know, I mean, just get it straight. This is how the law works. If you don't know how the law works, that's your problem. So when the petitioner comes before this council.
Are you a practicing attorney, brother?
No, but I've been to law school.
I know you have. We have a practicing attorney on board with us, and that's the department.
Okay, so that's what I said. Hey, listen.
Thank you very much for your email.
I've already said I defer to the council. Let me finish. You're being rude. You're being rude. I already said I defer to council to rule on the doctrine of severability.
Severability has nothing to do with this issue. The issue is is whether or not the procedures have been followed. You are a council that is authorized by statute and your rules. And when you act outside of those statutes or rules, you're acting without authority. So the authorization is that in recognizing a lineal descendant, they have to make a connection to a particular burial, an identified burial, and if and it has to go through an evaluation through SHPD, and if they are unable to make that connection to establish a lineal descent connection, then by default they're kicked over to a cultural descent position. And you know, regarding the notice and everything else, I can't speak to that. That might be, you know, something that SHPD could do to improve in their procedures, but that is how the law works.
If I might answer, what we have here is this man claims to be a lineal descendant of the first Kanaka Maoli here in Hawaii. Now his claim precedes that of the state of the territory before 1893, before all of that. Now we're going to not recognize that? I find that to be insane.
So how do we know who that burial is?
That's how your do we know that it was, that's your
that, really what I'm arguing is this.
You prove me.
Is he a descendant?
You have to prove me, but not the descendant. You, not me.
But Mr. Alapai has already been to court. And he's already, his lineage has already been determined in another court. So the redundancy haven't gone through the same process that he's already gone through.
Those court records are not before this council. We don't know what those court records say.
Granted, but Counselor, we cannot prove that he's not the lineal descendant. There's reasonable doubt.
But the thing is, you have to base it, your decision is not whether you can disprove that he's a lineal descendant. Your responsibility is to prove if he can show he is a lineal descendant.
By his testimony, Mr. Alapai proved that he's already proven that in another court.
Then bring in the court documents.
What? But we're arguing
just type up my name. It's here. And you can see him right down the front paper, Mr. Unger, the chair. Mike Vitusik, the archaeologist, they all, without reasonable doubt, that I, Kiava KKK Alapai, is the lineal descendant. I don't know. Just type it up, Kiava KKK Alapai.
We've got Skipti and Kia here. Why don't they guys get on
that? Type it up.
Follow up with that based upon what Mr. Alapai has said. Get on the computer, do the research, what he claims. We have that information. He's now before us. That seems to be the whole argument for the 2 years over that I've been here.
So
come before us. He's here.
So the question is, was that information provided to SHPD so they could make the evaluation
That's why I argue the doctrine of severability. Why is it necessary?
Severability does not apply here. The doctrine of severability means that if you have multiple provisions of a statute or rule and one is deemed invalid, then the rest of it may be given force and effect despite voiding a portion of the law. That does not apply here because these are all provisions that are necessary to be built on one another. If one fails, the whole process fails.
And it just failed just not too long ago with the first item. The first item, you guys didn't know. Who is this lady? Is she a lineal? Is she cultural? How do we know? Oh, she's related, but there's a 20-year gap. But she ended up passing. And like you said, if everything crumbles, it just crumbled on your first item. She wasn't here. She couldn't defend herself. She didn't ID herself. She didn't have nothing.
And the item did not pass.
No, but she got the pass. That's what I'm saying.
No, she didn't. It did not pass. She was not given approval in the first. In the first one, she was not given approval. The matter was deferred so that they could bring back further information to the council.
Correct. So this is a Bureau Council or a SHPD Council? What is
good
it?
Good question.
Well, I'm talking to two different, one council, SHPD, which is Omarad and Kiel, and then we have the Bureau Council, which is, you know, their Uncle M,
Oh no. Who's gonna grant me my lineal descendant or has the authority? Last I checked, this is a Bureau Council. So I don't know how shifty is coming in with terminologies and rewording the statutes. I don't know.
What is it?
Right now, it's the Bureau.
Get on the line, Google it.
Gavin, we are a state commission, and as Clifford mentions quite a few times, appointed by the governor.
All right.
But our directives, unfortunately, fall under State Historic Preservation Division. That's where our directives come under, yeah? And that's basically all I got to say about this, as far as I'm concerned. That clarifies it for me as of right now. As of right now. I'm not saying I'm happy with the directives we get from SHPPD at all. I'm not saying
that. Oh, of course.
Is how the law is written now, at least how it's written in administrative will fall under. And maybe it needs to fall under another department or a whole other different organization. I know that discussion is being taken place at this time. Who knows? But anyway, because it's such a contentious issue, I'm quite sure it's going to be staying within that department, at least for now. Any other commissioners, councilmen?
I got a comment.
Hey, me first.
What?
No, I got a comment. The problem, that's why I said these people, they apply for lineal. They go to SHPPD, they check off all the boxes. There's two boxes missing. So they come to us, recommend cultural. So that's what, to me, is the big problem with Brother here. Because they should go back and say, well, you know, if you can fill these other two boxes, then we're going to apply for lineal. But they don't. They just automatically shift them over into a cultural. You know, so he's kind of like thrown off because he thought he signed up for lineal, and we here dealing with a cultural. So that's only one small problem. But, so that's why I think that mix-up got to get fixed somewhere along the line. Thank you.
Now, Scott Clifford.
Yeah.
Uncle Norman.
Uncle Norman, go first.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to, I think I should make a motion that we vote on accepting Brother Kiavi Alapai as a cultural descendant. And after that, he can go to follow up on the.
That's not my fault, Uncle. That's not my fault.
I know it's not your fault. But being a cultural,
past practice.
Being a cultural is not a bad thing. It's just
It is a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. You still can protect.
You can protect
the Evie.
Hold on, Uncle Norman. Please finish what you're saying, please.
Sorry.
Was that
Uncle Norman? Please finish.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we vote on this as a cultural.
Wait.
Okay, before we do that, Uncle Mala for the motion, Clifford, and then we'll go with Uncle Motion.
Yeah. So, is it possible that Christian or Kea can go and just Google to find out what Mr. Alapai has claimed that he's petitioned other courts? To find out whether or not that's true. And if so, can we just move forward with this? Why are we putting more knots on our own line? I don't get that. We're supposed to be here for the people, not for the government. So can we have Kea or Christian go and research the claim that Mr. Alapai is making as evidence?
Gentlemen, it's a request from one of our borough council members. Is that possible?
Yeah, but you know, was he in a court? I thought he was saying he was recognized at the planning commission.
The Legal Planning Commission with Chairman Unger, Mike Vitusik, Keloa, who else?
And you know, I'm just curious, what were their requirements for their definition of a lineal descendant? They would operate under different, they could operate under a different definition than we do.
Yeah, so according to them, there's four property rights. The owner, lineal descendant, someone who lives in that area, and one more, I forget, but I qualified for the lineal. They pushed me right through. And there was an attorney. There was a county state attorney present at the time of that council meeting for the contested hearing that I was granted standing for. An attorney now, not one. You know what I mean? Well, the lady is appointed by the county attorney. She practices law. Had nothing to say. The board, without a doubt, passed me right through as a lineal descendant. So how does an attorney with a pretty substantial board pass me through, and then I'm coming to a borough council and you guys want to give me cultural? Just by the word of the attorney general lady, I don't know.
You had Dr. Vatusik verify who you are.
Yes.
Right. Anthropologist.
Mike Vatusik. He's the only, that's the guy you call.
Vatusik's testimony. Yeah. Validate it.
Just type it in on your, Google it up. Kiava KK Alapai shows my cases, contested hearing. Mike Vatusik vouched right there. It's real fast.
Good, Desmond.
Can you answer my question, please? Which is, can we make changes? Do we have the authority to make changes? If we don't have the authority to make changes, and rules sucks, Mr. Alapai.
I know.
Wait, let me finish. Unfortunately, we're handcuffed over here. We cannot do what we spiritually want to do to represent our Ibi Kukuma. But we stay handcuffed over here. We got to deal with what's on the agenda. I don't really like it. But we have the Attorney General here who enforces these legal laws of the land. But it's something we got to follow. And I understand you got to come back. Many people has come back before because this administration demands evidence-based. They don't believe in the olelo of our kupuna. And for me, I'm really done with this conversation. Looks like the worst part is you got to come back. But that you come at many people coming back, facing all this kind of stuff, and it's not our fault, it's not my fault for sure. But if you go come back, that means you're really passionate about your Ibi Kupuna. We cannot deal with the outside world. We only can deal with what's in front of us. And you understand the passion of this board. We like to do the best possible pathway for you and your Ibi Kupuna. It's all clear, and just to find a correct pathway to the. I understand your uprising because the system sucks. But we were appointed to represent Ibi Kupuna under that umbrella. And you know, I've been through that. Many of us here have been through that. And what's the reason for that? So my question was simple. Can we change it as a board? To accept you as the lineal? I heard the arguments, heard all the arguments, that yes, the no's may be so. But what's before me right now is in support of autonomous motion so we can get over this. And we got to go back again. That's the fight for the Ibi Kupuna. That's why we're involved in this. We're trying to find the best way so that it doesn't hurt not only you, but other families that come across with you. I'm really done with you. My second economy is motion.
Okay, so motion has been made by Uncle Norman and seconded by Uncle Desmond that we move forward with acceptance of Kiawe Ke Alapai as a cultural descendant to the unidentified skeletal remains. Located at Oma, 2 Aupua, North Kona District, out of Hawaii, TMK, home parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-007:038, and home parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:007. Any discussion on the motion?
Discussion.
Clifford?
Discussion.
Clifford?
It should be noted that the testifier, Mr. Alapai, is not being granted what he came before this council for.
Right.
So this council is laying down an administrative rule that they want to. In this discussion here, If this ever if sequestered or for evidence in a court, we've asked Shipti and Kea to research his claim to verify if it's and has that been done? No. But then you're going to move on with the motion that only you can understand based upon your limitation.
Where's my justice?
His constitutional rights.
Okay? Right.
That's the thing that you guys really got to wise up to, because this puts the entire council liable for an action, and I default to the counselor, to the council, to tell us whether or not this man has a course of action outside of the mitigation plan and a litigious action. Where here by testimony, this council forces this man to make a decision that is not his decision.
Not my
decision. The fact that he came here and that we argued, you've got to come. This man is here. He's making his plea. And to default to say Shipti has ultimate evidence, they don't have the ultimate evidence. By evidence of all the development that's been done here on Hawaii, on other people's land, and on the EV. You can't say that we default to them because they have the proper process. That's not true. And there's reasonable doubt. And in that doubt, this man has a claim. Why are we moving forward with this? Why are we putting more knots in our own line? That's what I don't get.
Waiola and then Christian.
Yeah, I just want to say, if Kelvin does not want to be cultural, let's not vote on that at all. The motion is to vote for him to be a cultural descendant. He does not want that, so let's not vote on that.
That's not what I asked for.
I don't care. You don't want it.
No, I do care because the process.
I understand what you said.
I'm in the union. I know. I was the grievance process.
Wait, one at a time, because it's very confusing. So, first, Council Member Waiola, were you done, please?
Done.
Wupau, okay. Kiawe, did you want to respond to that?
Yes. Like I said, it's not my fault. I made the mistake. So, it's what they call past practice. If Shifty made a mistake on notifying me and said, hey, Mr. Alapai, due to the findings, we need more information to set you as lenial because of Section A, B, C of the process. That right wasn't given to me. I got thrown to the board and thrown for a decision that is not mine. You see what I'm saying? So my rights have been violated. You guys are pushing me to a cultural, and I'm not here for cultural. I didn't apply for cultural. That's what I'm saying. So how is me, you guys waving the wand and says, Mr. Alapai, oh, you're granted cultural. I didn't come for cultural.
I'm getting to this. So I ain't waving no wand. My question was simple. Can we change the language? I'm not waving any wand over here.
No, I'm not pointing to you, Uncle.
I'm trying to help.
In general, yeah, I know. I got you, Uncle. It's just in general, and to my knowledge, that Shifty made the mistake, not the council, because only now you guys coming forward and noticing, hey, what's going on? Shifty should have brought that to my attention before I even got here. But my time, my effort, I went through the process, turned the paper, showed up to the meeting.
Just so you know, Kiabe, just for reference purposes, is that unfortunately other descendants have come forward who initially applied as Lino and ended up being culture were not informed ahead of time by Shipit either. So it's not an unusual practice. That's usually standard operating procedures for Shipit, yeah? I've never known them to call anybody to let them know that you have to submit more information to become a Lino. I've never known anybody who – I've never known Shipit to do it to any
– This is best for you guys.
Just so you know, so it's not personal to you. It's
no, just, it's not the Bureau of Council. It's none of the because you guys are unaware of this whole mess. I'm sorry that I had to explain it where both sides are trying to find the answers. But I thought we already had the answers. But it seems to me that Shifty, the Bureau, but you guys are the Bureau of Council. You guys have no wrong in this. Because you guys not aware of my situation. Shifty does. But that's why I say, that's all.
Peter, thank you, Calvin. Mahalo for that understanding. That's greatly appreciated. Mahalo. The Christian or Kale, which one?
I'll go first. You know, if I can finally answer Anakala Desmond's question, which may have helped a little bit. So to answer his question, you don't need to change any language in the agenda. The agenda doesn't say our recommendation to recognize the applicant as a cultural descendant. It says the descendancy recognition application. So you guys can discuss it however you guys want to. What we submitted to you guys is just our recommendation. Linda might be able to chime in on what it means when the burial council goes against our recommendation. But as far as the discussion goes, it's not the language in the agenda is not written to say we're recognizing him as a cultural descendant, therefore that's the only motion or discussion you guys can make. The other, and kind of I'm following up with Member Kapono, I did try and Google a little bit. I do see that Mike Vitusik said that Kiawe had genealogical connections to the area. I can't find the actual minutes or documents where, as you know, Kiawe is saying, they actually recognize him as that Mike Vitusik, who's not Dr. Vitusik. Mike Vitusik, the former SHPD archaeologist, suggested that Kiawe has genealogical connections to the area, but not that he is a lineal descendant.
It's in the article.
The last thing I wanted to add in is on November 26, 2019, Chris sent Kiawe a message. Aloha kawa e Kiawe alapa'i. I'm following up with you on your descendancy application we received last week. I tried calling the numbers listed on the application, but could not get in contact with you. I'm asking if you're able to provide more information regarding the connection of the lateral line that can help further validate your application. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to call me on my direct line. And Chris provided his phone number. Maybe Chris can chime in if you've ever called him back about that.
All right.
Yeah, so up until March, I haven't received any further correspondence with him. So from March was when I decided that we would just put him on as a cultural descendant. And that's when he was supposed to come on the agenda for March.
Okay. It's more confusing with every single discussion.
Well, it's good. That's how we learn.
I agree. I mean that in a positive way. The dialectical discussion is taking place here, yeah? Okay, so I totally agree.
Yeah.
We're learning from this, though, hopefully. Yes, Clifford.
So, Alapai. I call him Dr. Vitusik. So you still have some manal, some stuff you got to follow up with him, yeah? Because the evidence out there we have before us says that you're there somewhere, but we don't know how to do that. So help us to help you. Because we're here for you, bro. We are here for you. Make no mistake about that. I'm not here for the state. I'm here for the brotherhood. So whatever I can do to help you, I want to do that. Kea took time. He went to research. The man has my respect. He's a professional in what he does. So if we can all work professionally towards a positive outcome, that's what we want. That's really what we want. So Bob, how can we help you? Given all this, all the knots right, in the right. Now, what can we do to help you, Bob?
Well, okay. I guess I'm okay with you guys granting me cultural for the time. Temporary time until I can provide the right information to make me lineal. You know, like I said, see that. I just want to be lineal. That's it. That's my whole thing. You know, because we can go back and forth about sections. My application was the same application that I sent to Shifty, notarized, notary, turned in. I had to pay $200 for a contested hearing, plus my genealogy, and they passed it. unanimous lineal descendant. It's on the newspaper. I'll send you the article. You can talk to the archaeological, but I don't want to carry this on because I know you guys are getting tired of me, but I just want lineal descendant. That's all. If you guys can say, you know what, this kid just brought out lineal descendant, because all it is, it's a recommendation. Right? It's a recommendation. That's all. So just, what does this say? Hey, Mr. Alapai, for lineal descendants, yay, nay. If not, oh well. I'm good with that.
So, Wayne. Hold on.
Clifford?
Wayne, can we get in, bro? Can we, like, push this cultural thing, get that Paul, and then if you can just send in that the stuff from Dr. Vatusik and whatever you had, and then Kale can look at that, and then on our next meeting we can vote you for lineal. Chair, can we do that?
Well,
so you're gonna get them all. Right? You're gonna get both sides. You're gonna be covered, both sides, front and back. Well, Mr. Chair, can we do that? If Kea provides us the information that he had suggested that proved his genealogy in that specific area, and then we take that up on the next month's meeting to decide a vote for his lineal designation. Because Kea has already admitted or already testified that the department just looks to prove whether there's a direct line or an indirect line. So what we have from this particular witness is we have evidence that he claims to have that would verify what he is saying. We don't have that in front of us now. Kea did look to do some investigation for that. And thank you so much, Kea, for your professionalism. So if we can, like, pass this cultural stuff, boom, now, and then put him on the agenda for next month, and brother, no need to come back. But bro, all you got to do is provide the pala-pala so we can see the newspaper, whatever that was, and we can, okay, shoot, it's going. And then you'll be covered on both sides. Does that work?
Okay, I need Shifty to give me the answer on what pala-pala do I need to show proof of my lineal descendancy.
Okay, and I can tell you that. Kea can tell you that.
Yeah. But so, I see your point, Ron.
Okay, so going.
Yeah. Sure. I'm going. Process at least, yeah. At least it gets him designated as something for now.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd be careful is to say in a month, because sometimes state processes take some time, yeah?
Oh, see, wasn't that in favor?
The best case scenario would be next month. That's the best case scenario. That'll be the best case scenario. Okay, but I'll
definitely.
Yes, Scott. Could you let me finish, Scott, please? Thank you. Mahalo.
Well, I'm raising my hand for 10 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
Well, bro, I got to look at every screen. You know what I mean?
Go ahead. Sure. You got it.
I'm power ready, bro. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, look. This thing is nothing to do with genealogy. It has to do with an unidentified grave. That's the problem Yabi is running into. If he can prove connection to that grave, then his problem is solved. You know, but it's not about his genealogy. I'm pretty sure this guy is connected. You know, so that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. And that was definitely proven by him being cultural, yeah? That he's definitely connected genealogically to that place.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you, Scott, for that, for bringing that up again. Mahalo nui. Thank you always. Okay, folks. So we did have a motion made by Uncle Norman and seconded by Uncle Desmond to move forward with the cultural descendancy recognition of Keawe K. Alapai'i. I presume, this is a presumption, that Keawe is okay with it for now, knowing that he has the opportunity to reapply as a lineal descendant shortly.
No, I do not need to reapply. I just need to submit that right the form that you guys are looking for.
Yeah.
Whatever process to be done, brother. Whatever.
Well, I need to hear. I need to hear from the Shifty, because it seems like they're the one that's calling the shots.
We have a roll call vote.
No, wait. He wants to hear from Kea. Here, yeah. You just gotta tell him.
Because right now it seems like he's still contentious on whether he's going to go for cultural or not, as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm hearing.
No, that's not what
based
I heard.
Based upon what he can hear from Shippen. Correct, Clifford?
No, what I heard is this. He just wants to move forward. He knows who he is. He sees himself as a lineal descendant. The state doesn't see that. That's not his problem. That's the state's problem. So now what we're saying is if you can provide the testimony from Matusik, that should satisfy, because right. They originally claimed, it didn't matter if you're claiming linear or cultural, it's just their opinion. So now the witness wants an opinion from the state, so that's got to come from them. So, Kea, if Brada provides you that palapala from Matusik, does that satisfy you in terms of him meeting the linear condition for that?
You know, the one thing with that is, by our definition, a lineal descendant is somebody who is a descendant of a specific gravesite. So if in this application he's referring to this specific TMK and a specific remains buried on this TMK, and he provides that connection to those specific remains, then yes, you know, it would be sufficient. If for some reason the TMK is a different TMK, then that's a completely different application.
Okay, so... So, Bara, Alapai, you understand what he's saying, right? You're going to bring this stuff from Matusik. They're going to look at that. They're talking about the same grave site, blah, blah, blah. You're good. If it's a different grave site, then it's a different application, because that's how all this bullshit is going, site to site. So, that's all we can do. But we're here for you. Yeah, he's here for you. We're all here for you, bro.
Like I said, if the Bureau of Council is for me and pushing my rights as a lineal descendant, just push me as a lineal, because you guys are the board. And on the next meeting, bring it up again and discuss whatever. But I'm here for a lineal descendant. My application. My application is for lineal. Shifty.
That's not what we have. Like, imagine we want canoe. We like move the canoe. We no more paddle. What are we gonna do? That's all. So help us to help you. That's all I'm saying, Owen.
I'll just Oh, it's a tough pill for me to swallow. That's why right now.
Right. You're not swallowing nothing.
Because like Dada Brado was before me. He said, oh, yeah, take your time. We get all the way to 8 o'clock tonight. But when you come to me, oh, hey, let's get it over with. Hey, pal, hey, come on. I'm done. I'll come.
False accusation. No, not to you. That's a false accusation.
That's all I'm saying.
Because we got the 8 o'clock tonight, too, as far as I'm concerned, with any issue we have.
No, it was in the video. Remember, it was like, yeah, take your time, Kaali.
Yeah, but not go around in circles.
Exactly.
I'm not. I'm claiming Lino.
The question is up.
There's no.
I'm not like arguing already. It's, do you want to go to this or not? That's the question. Do we want to accept you as a cultural and then give you time? Or give she, I don't care who, give somebody time to go find this out. If you don't want to be
if
you don't want
to be cultural,
run him. I'm not trying to run with you. I'll stay here to 12 o'clock tonight, you like, bro. But we cannot go.
Okay, the cultural. We run him.
But I'm, you know, we get plenty of business today. Get other EV coupon.
Run him. Cultural. Vote.
Thank you, Kiabe Malo, for meeting us halfway.
Sorry.
Thank you. No need to apologize, brother. No apology needed. Never. Okay? Mahalo nui. Thank you. Okay, Council, we do have the motion on the floor. Let's take the vote then, unless anybody has anything else they'd like to say. Let me check to make sure. Okay? All those in favor? All those in favor, stipulate by saying aye. Raising your hand, please.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, the motion is carried. So as of this point in time, Kiavi Kealapai is recognized as a cultural descendant. Thank you, Kiavi, for your time.
Sorry about that.
And looking forward to seeing you in the future so we can recognize you as a lineal descendant.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, brother. Mahalo nui. Have a great afternoon. Aloha. Aloha to your family.
God bless.
You too, always. Thank you.
Yasupu.
Okay, so that agenda item is pa. Mahalo nui, folks. Oh, hate to even go into the next one, but here we go. Agenda item E, reconsideration of...
Can we take a 1 month break and come back?
Sure. Sure. I'm up for that. Okay, 5 minute break, folks. So 10 minute break. We'll reconvene at 12:15. Mahalo nui. Everybody's ready.
So chair.
And like Kaiki said, hold on.
Do we get to deduct our lunch on the expense account?
Maybe ask the Deputy Attorney General that one. I don't know. I have the faintest idea on that one, bro. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. So I eat a big breakfast.
Deduct breakfast.
I eat a big breakfast to make it through at least lunch, huh? At least through lunch. At least through lunch, man.
Deduct them.
It's all good. It's okay. I'll get that deduction sooner. Oh, okay, so we're all back again. We're all good. Anybody good who should be back? And then again, don't forget, folks, we do take our breaks. Make sure you're muting your microphones now, yeah?
I don't have, somebody, where am I?
So some of your conversations are very interesting.
Oh, okay. Okay, there. Aloha.
Aloha, Uncle Desmond. Aloha, Mai. So we got everybody. We got Desmond, Uncle Desmond, Kalena back, Waiola. We have Clifford back, Scott, and Uncle Norman. Okay, so we're gonna reconvene our meeting now. Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui, folks. Thank you. Hope that break helped. Okay? So we're going to go into item the E of our business agenda for today. And item E is reconsideration of the motion no developer issue can come to the table during COVID-19, adopted by the Hawaii Island Borough Council at the August 20th, 2020 HIBC meeting. Discussion and decision on whether to reconsider, amend, or rescind the above motion. Okay. Discussion, folks.
Can I just preface the discussion on this item?
Please do.
The Chief Justice yesterday issued amended emergency orders regarding access to the courts, which I believe was one of the issues that this was meant to address. So the access to the courts have been reinstated. The only exceptions are if you're running a fever, if you have a cough or something before you go into the courthouse, or if you've been on travel within so many days ahead of the ahead of trying to enter the court. Otherwise, the courts are back, open for everyone to enter, not just those that have particular business with the courts. So that order just came out yesterday.
Mahalo, thank you, Deputy Attorney General. Mahalo, Clifford.
Counselor, part of the thinking of this is that if the governmental judicial system was shut down because of the COVID-19, it was because of that. And so in that linear thinking, I was of the opinion that people looking to bring a cause of action against a developer relative to the discovery of EV may not be able to because of the COVID-19. So that common denominator in the courts may have been satisfied by the ruling of the Chief Justice recently, but the COVID-19 still puts those particular plaintiffs at a disadvantage because of the significance of the disease in itself. So rather than looking at one part of the equation, looking at both sides, those plaintiffs or those individuals that would be hampered because of the COVID-19 wouldn't have access to come before us, as we talked about this morning, the necessity of having to testify. They may be denied that. So under the rule of democracy and justice for all, was the opinion that no development should happen where the EV was an issue until such time that the COVID-19 thing would be cleared, and then we could come forward collectively.
Okay, the problem is, if you're talking about the COVID-19 being in existence, we're talking probably at least 5 years into the future. And I don't think, I don't think it's reasonable to wait 5 years. Also, the courts have never been closed. There's always been full access to the courts. Plus now access to the justice system is a big issue for the courts. And I can assure you that the judicial system and the judiciary is very aware of that and has have taken all the steps possible to ensure continued access to the courts, including electronic filing. In addition, you've got the emergency orders that are in place that suspend Chapter 92, and that allows this council and many others to meet electronically so that the health and the welfare of the people can be accommodated, even though we're still in this pandemic with restricted travel available. So, I think a lot of the concerns that were at the basis of the original motion have been satisfied or are no longer of concern. The council could resume doing its normal business.
I appreciate that, Councillor. But the only thing that I'm still arguing is that from the people who have been impacted because of this, these are the naka-naka on their aina, not having access. I mean, this morning where there was a condition of one person not being able to be related to another and who they knew. This is seriously the normal course of action. So that we could just take in consideration the people whom we are here to represent. I know I'm not here to represent the judiciary. I'm just here as representing the people from Hilo. So given that, that the judiciary maybe mitigated their condition, but for the populace, we're still suffering from that same situation. So in fairness, where is that for the people?
Uncle Norman, I think you might have to mute your mic, please. Thank you. Was that addressed to the Deputy Attorney General?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, I don't understand what the concern is. I guess I was not there for the original motion. So, last time when you met and I was at your meeting, it appeared that the access to the courts was the issue that was the basis for the motion. And now you're saying that just the COVID-19 condition in general or the existence of it is the concern and that people may not have access to the meetings. Well, that would be true whether or not the COVID situation exists. I mean, some people cannot make it to the meetings just because of the way their circumstances are. That does not mean the council cannot continue to do its business. And as we've demonstrated, or as you've demonstrated, there are ways to answer those concerns. There are telephones. People have telephones. They've always had telephones for as long as we've all been alive. So they can reach out by telephone. There's, as we're accommodating the person on the item A in the agenda, that one of the council members is going to reach out and contact them directly, either through telephone or in person. So there are accommodations that can be made for people who want to appear or who want to take some sort of actions, but that does not mean that all business should stop.
I appreciate that, Councillor. Thank you very much. But the only thing that I'm suggesting is that prior to this COVID-19, prior to the judiciary temporarily being closed in some courts, Nakanaku faced, as you well know, a traumatic condition in dealing with the Western law and the culture, jurisdiction. There's issues of all of that, which seem to be somewhat duplicit in their intent to the net outcome. And so what I continue to argue, and I will always argue, is that the common denominator, this doesn't have to do whether or not you have a telephone or not, but whether or not the efficacy of Native Hawaiians is being met by the U.S. Constitution and its jurisdiction. That's the only thing that I'm arguing. And I default.
But that's not inherent in the motion. That's an inherent disagreement you have with westernized law, which I respect, but that does not provide a basis for the motion as I understood it.
Granted, and I stand corrected, Councillor, that it's not within the language of the motion, but I was simply citing the foundation and the intent from where that whole idea came to articulate that. It simply was that if the court wasn't going to move forward on these developers, then we needed something to stop that. By evidence of what's going on Maui right now, there's a huge thing in Lahaina where people are, you know the situation better than I. And so that to try to preserve the integrity and the efficacy of the people in general under the U.S. Constitution, which I totally subscribe to, and the doctrine of fairness and democracy, how is that really being amortized? And we have people coming even on the phones or testify, even people on the council. Do we really understand the full essence of the scope of our authority? We're defaulting to a state agency to be what? An arm of the state agency, but we're an independent council? I mean, there's so much confusion just in its setup that requires your presence. And I'm so grateful that you're here to reduce that liability and to ensure that we're moving on the right path. So that, again, I default to you, Councillor, if you feel that this motion is inadequate or it's inappropriate, then since I submitted, I'd be willing to rescind.
It's not my place to say whether or not the motion was inadequate or should be rescinded. I was trying to provide information to the council and context for the motion that is on the agenda, which is the reconsideration of your original decision. And so, you know, I've provided that context that, you know, the concerns that I understood were raised as a basis for the motion no longer exist. Because the situation has changed, and so the question is whether or not the council does now want to reconsider its original decision and change that decision.
Thank you, Councillor. I appreciate
all for that discussion, folks. Anybody else? Kipper, since you initiated the motion, where are you looking? Where are you at right now?
I do not support development where there's Ivi Kupuna, and I believe there'd be more Ivi out there than we were identifying, and the carrying capacity for an entire Moku'o Hawaii is far exceeded, and so we need something to temper that, and if this council can help to temper that for the betterment of everyone, then that's what I support. I'm not here to throw any impediments or to retard or slow down the progress of the council at all. So I would submit that if this motion does not fit the spirit and the intent of the council at this time, then I'm more than willing to withdraw this motion.
Mahalo nui. Thank you very much for that. Mahalo. Council members, anybody? Uncle Norman, Scott, anybody? Mayola, Kalena, Desmond?
So is that a motion to rescind? Because if it is, then I will second it.
I think that was a probability. I didn't actually hear it put in as a motion, but that was definitely okay. A probability that could happen, yes. But since Clifford initiated the initial motion, I just wanted to, you know, as he was already having that conversation with the Deputy Attorney General already, so that we get more informed to make that final determination. That would really help us out a lot. Just as we asked Keawe in the last situation to work with us so we can make things happen. Yeah, his idea. Not implying, Clifford, you don't. Please don't get me wrong. Yeah. But again, just kind of the same request we requested of Keawe. Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Within that spirit, Chair, if it would help to move forward, I'm more than glad to rescind my motion.
Thank you, Clifford. Mahalo nui. So a motion has been made to rescind the motion of no developer issue can come to the table during COVID-19. That was adopted by the HIBC at the August 2020 HIBC meeting. Is there a second? Kalena, were you seconding?
Second.
Okay, so a motion has been made by Clifford and seconded by Kalena to rescind the motion that was made on August 20th, 2020 at the HIBC meeting. Any further discussion, folks? Anybody? Okay, if there are none, then let's go on and take the vote. All those in favor, stipulate by saying aye and raising your hand, please. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion is unanimously carried. Mahalo nui for that, folks. Thank you. Okay, now we're on to business item F.
Moving right along.
Basically, this is a discussion on Hawaii Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities, discussion on the above item. It's definitely been a big help. I'm just going to chime in real quick, having the Deputy Attorney General here with us last few weeks in terms of clarification of certain discussion. So mahalo nui loa for that. And again, no offense to anybody, I really feel with Zoom that should be happening. That should be happening. When there's other possibilities. That's just my EK with that, yeah? Other council members, anything in regards to this business matter at this point in time? Anybody? Kalena? Kalena, when you got your lunch? When you get lunch, Kalena.
Wait, something to say. I was just wondering, sometimes when I look at our minutes, I feel like it's missing some of the key ingredients in the mana'o behind how we come to decisions. And I was wondering if we could revisit the idea of putting it, you know, posting the recordings up online.
Okay. Did anybody hear that?
In between my mouthful. Sorry.
Again, that's as far as minutes go, it's kind of similar to our descendancy recognitions. There always seems to be a different perspective in terms of how that should be done. More minutes, less minutes, be more succinct, more concise. That's, again, one of those things that I know we've had quite a few discussions on as well. Council members, will you have that? But that's about posting the recordings, right, Kalena?
Yeah, but I think if we're doing descendants stuff, if we have to go into executive order, that can all be clipped out. That doesn't get put up in for public listening.
Right, exactly. Especially with now that most all these Zoom meetings are being recorded, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion, council members, with regards to Kalena's request or anybody?
She's asking for the audio recordings to be available to the public, except for the executive sessions portions. Is that what she was asking or stating?
Kalena, can you answer that, please?
Yes, that's what I was asking.
Okay, thanks.
We revisit that idea because it might make it easier for us to record our minutes in a way where we can get more of the details.
Right, I agree with that.
Okay, mahalo. Anybody else? That's the audio recordings, yeah? The audio recordings. Oh, it's got, I clarified.
Yeah.
It's
mahalo. Yeah, mahalo. Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, should I make a motion?
Yeah, let's do so. So at least we get it down to the motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we put our recordings of our monthly meetings, excluding the executive sessions, onto the website where we have our agendas listed and our minutes.
I second.
Okay, thank you very much. A motion has been made by Kalena and seconded by Scott Mahoney that the recordings be made public so that we can get a more in-depth preview of the minutes that were taken. Yeah, and Kalena, that was audio again, not video, right? Okay, the audio recording. Because once we go back to face-to-face, it's always audio. Done by audio. It's always done by audio, yeah? We know that for sure. For sure. Okay, so any other discussion with that, folks? Anybody? Okay, I don't see any hands being raised. So if there are none, let's take a vote, though. Then all those in favor, please see if everybody's saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
All right. Okay. Anybody opposed? Okay, the motion is unanimous. Thank you very much for that. Any other concerns, folks, with member roles, responsibilities? This point in time, let me just check, scroll through, make sure I'm not missing anybody. Kia?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to make a statement based on the earlier agenda items we had. You know, I don't want anybody to think that we at SHPD work against any of the applicants that come forward for descendancy claims. You know, I think, you know, I'm hoping most of you notice that a lot of these descendants end up thanking us. And the reason they thank us is because a lot of these descendants come to us with four names. They come to us with just their grandparents and somebody and some name they might be tied to in these Ahupua or, you know, wherever they're trying to tie back to. You know, Chris and I, we work hard to essentially give these people their genealogies. We work hard to create their genealogy or to find their genealogy for them so that we can substantiate their claims. we don't try to disprove the applicants coming forward, as you know, one person had suggested earlier, as one of the applicants had suggested earlier. We must go through 15 different resources trying to find everything we can to make sure that we can have this person successfully, albeit sometimes it's not lineal, but to have them connect at least as a cultural descendant. Because a lot of these descendants can't even do that on their own, and we help them with that, because that's our job. Our job is to support these applicants coming forward, and our positions, you know, believe it or not, the people that are in our positions want to help the community. That's why we're in this job. And so, you know, I just wanted to make that clear that, you know, sometimes it feels like our work ethics are being attacked. It almost feels like it's being attacked sometimes. And, you know, even if Chris or I can't find the connection in the 15 different resources we use, most times we'll connect them to a genealogist who can. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that at least all of you guys knew that we do work hard to make sure we can prove somebody's connection if they're coming forward with their application.
Mahalo, Kale. Thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. Mahalo nui. Any comments, folks? Anybody?
Aloha, I'm a fellow Kahiki. May I speak, please?
Kiki. Go ahead, Kahiki.
Mahalo, mahalo. Kalamai, I'm cold in my house. Kalamai.
On Kauai?
Honolulu. Honolulu.
Okay.
So I just wanted to support my colleagues, because I listened to all the burial council meetings on every island that has them. And everyone works in our office. I can testify for all the folks that I work with that work very hard in a difficult circumstance. Oftentimes the community will find division where we're seeking lokahi. You know, we're seeking to kokua. And, you know, many of us are are very, very dedicated to this mana'o. And my colleagues have really worked hard to kokua. So I would ask that, you know, we see past our divisions and work together. And I think that your council, with you as in leadership, Anakala, are very good at giving everyone a chance to speak their mana'o, whether, you know, however it turns out. But please know that we aloha iwi kupuna as well. We ma'alama. We're here because we're called here too. And so please think more lokahi for everyone. And this is something that I find in your council, is that you folks are very unified. And so just, you know, for those of you who have difficulty trying to see state workers as you know, not helping, we really truly, that's our deep in our na'au, is why we're here and why we take, you know, the flack from both sides. So ehui kalamai for taking time in your council, and I just wanted to say I'm proud of my colleagues, and they're doing a great job, and all of you are doing a great job with your council too. Every time we're in a council, we are subject to, you know, whoever is calling the shots. And oftentimes it's very, very conflict and antagonistic. But we, you know, we are here, and we're standing here, and we're trying to do our best job. So thank you all, and I'm sorry to take so much time. Oya baleno.
Mahalo, Kahiki. Your ike and yamanao is always warranted and appreciated. Mahalo nui. Thank you. Mahalo. Anybody else in regards to this agenda item?
Can I also just... Thank
you. Kalena? Tamara? Yeah, Tamara, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to also say that, you know, I know that Kay and Christian are coming from the right place, and they're bound to following the administrative rules, as imperfect as they may be sometimes. You know, I can only speak for myself in this respect, but I am not always happy with how those administrative rules work either. But, you know, and we have to be fair and follow them to the degree that we can. But, you know, I know that their hearts are in the right place, and that, you know, that's all I have to say, I suppose. But I support them. I think that they're doing the best that they can.
Mahalo, Tamara. Mahalo nui. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Some members?
Right here.
Scott?
Nale. Yeah. Nobody on this board has anything but praise for Christian and Kale. We know how hard they work. We just had questions on the formalities of how this guy got to it. I did not know that Christian had requested more information to become lineal 6 months ago, 5 months ago, with no reply. You know, but I was just bringing up a situation where all these people applied for lineal and they all got recommended as cultural. You know, so that's what we was really talking about. Wasn't their performance. Was just the way the system that and the parameters that they have to work in. So, but yeah, all praise to them. And you guys.
I mean, this is. I mean, I don't think anyone here is going to try to argue that it's perfect the way that it is, but we have to work with what we have, I suppose.
Mahalo, Tamara. Mahalo, sovereignty. Anyway, okay. So anything else with regards to item F? Sovereignty. Okay, sorry. I'm choking up here, folks. Kalamayo. But yes. The way I look at these things, folks, is that, you know, we're doing the best we can. And in my lifetime, one thing I've always learned, what goes around comes around. I've seen burial specialists, because they're so involved in this, just literally get eaten up, spiritually get eaten up by this stuff, yeah? Because they're very, very involved, yeah? But I've also had a few that were sketchy, and they're no longer on this earth anymore. The ancestors have a neat way of making things even, making the playing field even, yeah? So I concur. I think they're doing a wonderful job. It's just unfortunate sometimes because of our passion, it gets heated, and unfortunately, maybe the wrong words or the way it's said. I always try to remember it's not what you say, it's how you say it, but sometimes it's very hard to do that. And again, no offense to anybody. Again, thank you. Thank you again, Kale, for bringing that up. Okay. Anybody else in regards to agenda item F, so we can move on? Anything? Desmond? Unmute.
I just wanted to honor you, Nale, for your leadership. Like the glue, like the ulu sap. We all bind it together. Like the kaula. You know, like when you get the la'au and the ku'i, the only thing that binds it together is the kaula. And I consider you our kaula. And everybody working hard. No matter what Hawaiian agency you're involved with, TV, AINA, food sovereignty, we're all working, we're all boots on the ground doing it. We're all doing this. And who we doing this for? It's for our kupuna. That's how we represent it. The pathways, kupuna pathways based on ancestral knowledge. So yeah, we're passionate. And I'm going be really passionate as far as our Ivi Kupuna, and I appreciate everybody's mana'o. We never did ever question anybody's competency or skill level. We were not like that. But we do want to make things correct, only. And I just wanted to mahalo nale.
Mahalo, appreciate that. Thank you. It's not easy all the time, I will say that. It's not easy, but it's worth the challenge.
It shouldn't be. It's difficult.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
That's why we, yeah.
It helps with character building. That's for darn sure.
You know, I'll share one mana'o.
Hiki.
I learned from Papa Mao. He said, you cannot do nothing about the wind, but you can surely adjust your sails and continue voyaging forward. Yeah. Sometimes you got to drop the sails. Kuka, kuka. Yeah, mauli. Yeah, ola, ola, ho'i. Yeah, ho'i. And then if I always say, Papa Mama say, if nothing, if something getting you down, you just look up. Our kupuna is up there guiding us. So mahalo to everybody that's involved.
Mahalo for that last thing, Uncle. I'm going to remember that one. Although I'm going to ask Chad and Pumai, why we never hear that one before from you guys?
Eva'a hemoko, hemoko, eva'a.
Eva'a, polole, polole. That one I know. But mahalo, no. Thank you. Okay, folks, then if there's nothing else, then we're going to move on with our agenda. Everybody's okay? At least we're back to smiling again, which is good. Thank you very much. That was desperately needed. Mahalo nui. Okay, so now we're going to go into updates, and these are updates that were requested by two of our borough council members. So I would hope they would be able to alakai or facilitate these discussions that need to take place. The first one was the draft barrel treatment plan for site number 50-10-27-18511, Lili'i Okalani Trust Lands in Kiahu'olu, Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, PMK, colon, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-4-025:015. Discussion and determination of whether, we've already dealt with this barrel treatment plan. This was a concern that Uncle Norman had mentioned last month in our meeting. Uncle Norman, would you like to help facilitate this discussion, please?
Well, as of the last meeting, I just passed by one time, and they look like they're wrapping up pretty much. I don't know if anything came forward of what I had said about any more EV that is being found or located. I was hoping to get some information from Queen Liliuokalani themselves, you know, but I don't know if if Kerem had talked to any Liliuokalani people about this. So I have no update on this. I should like to have some, but as of the present, since the last meeting, nothing has come back to me. Thank you.
Well, Uncle Norman. Chris or Kea? Oh, sorry, Clifford?
I have a question. I'm led to believe that Queen Liliuokalani Trust is dissolving. And if that's true, then the land-based assets that are part of that trust, how will a decision coming from the Big Island Burial Council impact whoever it is that comes in receipt of these lands? And my concern is if they're developers, is there an audit provision to ensure that they're going to follow through with what the Burial Council has advocated? Or is it just a transfer of title with no responsibility? Whoever can answer that, I appreciate.
Well, what I do understand, Clifford, is that whatever was approved in the BTP would go down in the Bureau of Conveyances, so that whatever measures were accepted, developed by the council and SHPID would be part of that permanent record, and therefore would transfer it to the new landowner when they acquire the land. That's what I understand. That's how I understand it, and I could be misinterpreting it.
Is there an audit provision to make sure that there's compliance specifically to this QLCC?
I know nothing. I presume not. I'm going to presume not, because that's why we're having these updates. Yeah. that's a presumption, which to me is one of the flaws. Not maybe, is a flaw within this program, within this, these commissions, these, borough councils. Yeah. Is not having these constant updates, you know, where they at 6 months from now, a year from now. Yeah. So like I said, there's sometimes I pass by places still got orange fence from 20 years ago. The orange fence is still there.
So if that be the case, then should we have a policy for Moku'oke'awe that requires an audit provision to make sure for compliance by whatever decision is rendered from this council?
I'd like to defer that one to the department, the Deputy Attorney General, if you don't mind, from the legal perspective. Yeah. I would like it. I would think there should be audits. Yeah. That's one of my biggest concerns on my tenure here in the council, is just no way of knowing what actually ended up happening. Yeah. And that's always been to me a big hole, pilikia, yeah, a puka in the process to me. Yeah. How do we know everything ever got done? anyway, Deputy Attorney General, are you able to answer that question as far as the with Clifford?
Well, I've never been asked about whether or not they could put in an audit provision, and that would be up to the department to decide, because ultimately the BTP is approved by the department upon the recommendation of the Burial Council. So the Burial Council could make the recommendation to put it in there, but I think ultimately it's still up to the SHPD and staff to ensure that that things are done according to the BTP. There are other checks and balances. many times the historic preservation requirements are part of development commitments or entitlements, like if they need a boundary amendment from the LUC, or if they need some sort of county, you know, approval, planning commission approval, or anything like that, they usually would get incorporated through that process as well. And so it's through those other commitments that enforcement is usually overseen and done. So, you know, I'm not sure to the degree that they're needed. So where you mentioned that, you know, 20 years later, you still see orange fencing, it's probably because you haven't seen any development with regards to that property as well. So, you know, the, yeah, so no development, no need to, you know, the BTP doesn't need to be fully done because there's no impact to the burial sites, technically. So, you know, a lot of it is triggered off the actual development. So that's where the other approvals would also happen to be a check on it as well.
Okay. Clifford?
Like when I asked the counselor, isn't the BTP just one of the alternative dispute resolutions that are afforded the potential plaintiff?
And it's not a dispute resolution. It's not a form of dispute
resolution. It's not a mitigation plan? It's not a mitigation.
It's a mitigation plan, but it's not a dispute resolution. So it's a mitigation for impact to a historic property, correct. But that's not a dispute, alternative dispute.
But the plaintiffs still have the option to litigate.
Well, except that in a BTP, there are no plaintiffs.
Also a class action.
Well, it depends on what class you're talking about. Who are the members of the class? That's not, I mean, it's just not clear to me. So that's why the lineal and cultural descendancy recognition mm-hmm. process is important, because okay. it gives a voice to the people who are impacted. And, you know, so in the development of the BTP, they have to consult with the cultural and lineal descendants. And so that's where their voice is. And if there, you know, is somebody who's going to keep tabs on it, or who's going to see that the BTP is actually done, you know, a lot of times that would be the recognized cultural lineal descendants who would come forward and say, look, they're not doing this, or they're building it and they haven't done this kind of thing. So that, you know, that's why that folds into this process as well.
So this classification, this difference between lineal and cultural descendant is more specific than just either one, just so that they can make a claim, if I'm hearing you correctly.
So, and Kea could probably elaborate on this, but the difference between them is that when in the development of a burial treatment plan, their voices carry different weight. So as a cultural descendant, you know, they need to be consulted, but as a lineal descendant, they have much more say, which is why in the situation that was before you earlier, it's very important to ensure that you don't lightly give lineal descendancy to somebody who has not gone through the process or shown that they have a claim. Because if you already have recognized cultural descendants, and then you elevate somebody to a lineal descendancy, you basically are giving them more importance than the rest of the cultural descendants, or their voice has more importance than the voice of the other cultural descendants that have already been recognized. And in the case of the Walmart situation on Oahu, that led to a contested case where we had to convene a burial appeals panel and everything, because the other cultural descendants were not happy with that, and they challenged it.
Is there ever compensation awarded by the court to the lineal descendants for damages or harm?
No, because the lineal descendancy claim does not go before the courts as a tort or damages type action. So if anything, the decision of the burial appeals panel would go up as an appeal.
So prior to that, it's within the burial treatment plan where it's mitigated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any impact would be mitigated in the burial treatment plan.
And thank you so much for the education. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, mahalo. Mahalo nui. Anybody else with regards to this item? Anybody?
One last comment. Given now that I'm wised up, and thank you, counselor, I apologize for my conduct with
Radha to get him lineal or cultural to move forward. I have a better appreciation for the differences now, and I can assure you I will never make that casual recommendation again. So I apologize to the council, and thank you so much, counselor, for the education.
I mean, you just have to put yourself in the perspective of the other cultural descendants that have already been recognized and, you know, try to be sensitive to the differences between them.
Mahalo. Mahalo nui. Mahalo for everybody. This is Ike. Always appreciate it as always. Kale, you had something? Want to add?
Yeah, so for Uncle Norman, so we did get an email from Mana Purdy, the guy at QLT. He wrote an email, I think, Sean actually wrote out to him, and so he said, aloha, mahalo for notifying Mara of the discussion regarding the MPD area at the HIBC. I'm emailing to confirm our current work within the MPD area. One, we are implementing the burial treatment plan by constructing the protective buffer rock wall as requested by the Burial Council in October 2019. Two, there is no other work being done within the MPD survey area. And three, there has been no EV found during the construction of the rock wall and or no additional EV found surrounding the burial site or within the MPD. I know that was one of the concerns you had. That's why you had information saying that somebody had said they found so many more, burials in the area. But so according to Mana, there haven't been any EV found within the rock wall area or within the burial site.
Mahalo, okay. Mahalo for contacting Mana. But was any attempt made to contact the crew that was actually doing the stonework?
No, that's Jimmy's son, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. As far as I understand, is that correct, Uncle Norman?
Yeah, son? Jimmy's son.
Okay. I was just wondering if an attempt was made to get any Ike or Mana from him.
No, but I do have Jimmy's number, so I can reach out to Jimmy and then see if he has information, or if not, if he can put me in contact with his son.
But Jimmy is not working on that site. I don't know if his health is good or what, but his son is kind of taking over, and taking over the business and a lot of the contacts that he had. So I appreciate that the call went out. Appreciate that we had an answer back. Now they got to live up to that. At least we got confirmation, yeah? So you know, if anything is found, hopefully it's inadvertent. And then, appreciate the follow-up that you guys did. You know, follow-up is good. Answers a lot of questions, and main thing, us as the Burial Council and you as the Shipley, we all make pono, yeah. And sometimes some things might be not correct, but we try to make pono. Okay, thank you very much, Gil. Chris, thank you.
Uncle Norman, you good?
I'm good, thank you.
Mahalo, Uncle. Anybody else? Okay, any last remarks with regard to this agenda item?
No, none other than I'll follow up with Jimmy and see if I can get in touch with his son just to at least hear his concerns if he still has them.
Mahalo nui. That way we get both perspectives. Yeah, thank you. Thank you about. Thank you. It helps to make better decisions. Yeah, mahalo nui. Okay, so then we'll move to agenda item B, which is again this was initiated by Kalena, and this is in regards to the letter from Keone Kalave that was dated June 29th. And if I'm mistaken, we were able to see them in July meeting, when I'm mistaken, when we saw them in Zoom, yeah? Keone and a few other people as well. Kalena, you wanted to start facilitating this discussion, please?
Yeah, sure. It was interesting that this got on our agenda because about 2 weeks ago, Keiki gave a call following up on this, and he was really upset. And, I mean, you know how he can get really elevated, upset. So you just have to be a good listener. And for about a half an hour, he just gave it to me about his discontent and all the different things that aren't in place. So he wanted to have a meeting with Trustee Robert Lindsay here, our OHA trustee. And So I was trying to make arrangements with Kama Hopkins, his aide, to facilitate that. And I told him that I would go to the university and try to meet up with whoever that person needs to sign off. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be in another meeting and it's all coming in. Where are you? So I contacted Kea and I let Kea know what was happening, and he offered to come with me and Chris to the university last week, Friday, I think it was, or two Fridays ago. And I also notified OHA and Kama Hopkins that we have a beneficiary and we have some desecrated burials in Pune that need to get some assistance and some kind of resolution. So I was trying to activate whatever kind of systems we have at OHA within compliance and advocacy. And so Friday, Kay and I did go, and Chris, to meet up with this person. His name is Kalei Raposa. And he's like the vice chancellor for facilities here. But when we went to see him, first he was in a meeting, and then he got back to us when we were still on campus so we could meet with him. And he was, you know, pretty nonchalant and said that he has no authority and that it would be something that's handled on Oahu at Manoa. And he recommended that OHA generate a letter from our compliance department to try to facilitate some kind of movement or confirmation or something that would help sign off on that preservation plan. So we didn't get too much really resolved, but at least we knocked on some doors. We saw people face to face. And then I updated my coworkers on Oahu, and I see Kamakana's here from Compliance, Ferreira. He's our lead archaeologist on Oahu that's been, you know, in on these emails with me, and Kai Markel. So we're trying with the two different hats I wear to help move some things forward, and that's where we're at right now. And Kamakana, you can pop in if you want, or Kea.
Hey, Kalena. It was very helpful that you and Kea went down to
UH. Kamakana, how about a photo, man? Let's see your face.
I'm sorry, my home OHA computer is not currently equipped with a camera, despite my request for one.
You mean they gave you a computer without a camera? I don't believe this.
Okay. Well, we had a mass exodus to work remotely when COVID started. So, and I think we did pretty good, but not everybody has cameras. I see. So.
Understandable. Thank you for the clarification.
Oh, grievance.
I'm just on the wait list, I guess, until somebody gets me one in IT. But anyway, so Kalena, thank you for you and Kea going to UH Hilo and speaking with Kale. I also spoke with Kea last week on the phone on Friday, and he, you know, provided us with the information that was requested. That helped with some of the facts that I put together in the letter to David Lasner. The draft is completed. It's got to be routed for approval now. I'm not too sure how long it's going to take. But at the end of the day, you know, it's really going to have to be UH coming to the table here as the landowner. We can only encourage them so much. We offer to facilitate a meeting between SHPD, descendants, and UH within the letter, and we'll just see what happens from there. That's all I can say at the moment.
Mahalo, Kamakana, for the update. Mahalo nui. Sounds like a Mauna gathering in Kumukahi pretty soon. But anyway, so it shall be. Anything else, Kalena, with regards to this update or Kamakana?
No, not really. I mean, there's a lot of things that Keiki was asking for that there's no way it's in our jurisdiction to give to him. Like, he wants a cultural center, and he wants us to stop the road being, you know, rebuilt again and reopen. There's a lot of stuff that we don't, that's not what we do, and we can't do it. And so I was just doing the best I could to listen to him. And then whatever I could personally do, I tried to help him with. But I was going to wait to see what happens with this letter before I reach out to back to him. And I think Trustee Robert Lindsay is going to hopefully meet with him or have at least a conversation or telephone just to hear his voice and hear what he has to say.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Any council members, questions? Uncle Norman, were you at your hand up? Uncle Norman?
No, sorry.
I'm sorry, no, just checking. Anybody else? council members, check to make sure. Okay.
That's my Ohana down there.
How's that, Uncle Desmond?
That's my Ohana down there. I work here with Cousin Leila, with Cousin Kioni and them.
Good, good, good. And,
when the new House of Representatives get into Punang, and once they turn, he has funding to create a educational center, a cultural educational center to support edutourism. Come, instead of go look, you have to show, come, work the lepo, or go IPO with Nalego, Puntero.
Oh, please.
See who we're all about. But yeah, mahalo, Kalena. They go, you know Kalena? I go, yeah, I do. But yeah, Kumakai is going to be, besides Sina Mauna, it's the next side of land is Kumukahi. When our ancestors came out, traveled thousands of miles, it's the first thing they see, the mauna. The korero is about Hawaii Loa, noticing the sun rising in the north only at night. Our kupuna, they teach us in Kauna, the sun rising at night. There was Tutupele calling Hawaii Loa to come. It's the first piece of land he saw was Kumukai. Okay. We're going to have an exam after this, okay? We'll be taking notes.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, good, good, good. Thank you, Uncle, for that historical, cultural footnote. Mahalo nui. Excellent. It makes sense, yeah? It's definitely very prominent in our culture, in our olelo, mo olelo, olelo no iao, everything, yeah? So mahalo nui for that. Anybody else, anything? If not, oh, Uncle, you going, Desmond? Uncle Desmond?
Vacation land, yeah? Where the Lyman's live. Nui ka, Ivi, hoi. Chok. Tutupele came, I la okay. They said, oh, you know what? I gotta go cover these guys up. Make it more difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody.
And that's what I referenced to earlier, that the Kuna and the Amakura answers have a way of making things right again. You know, they have a way of making things right. Yeah. So that's all. That's all. Okay, mahalo nui everybody for that. So then we're going to go into our last segment of the day, which is inadvertence in communication. So this is a letter from the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Highways Administration, dated September 21st, 2020. And I presume that was in our packet, yeah?
Yeah.
Kia or Chris? Are you going to enlighten us about this inadvertent?
No, so this one is just a 106 consultation. And so, you know, with 106 consultations, they are required to reach out to Native Hawaiian organizations for consultation. And so, you know, if you guys read through the paperwork, I think there were two documents for that. One was the actual letter. The other was attachments. And so, you know, if you guys had any concerns or whatnot, you know, you're welcome to read the letter and see you know, who you can convey that to.
What? Yeah, mahalo. Mahalo, Kia. Christian, anything else? We got that inverting. Anybody? Just making sure. Uncle Norman, you added something?
Yeah, I was looking at this document, and I was looking at the map and the diagram of the road, and, you know, from the top road down to the bottom, Queen Kahomana Highway. Kind of steep, yeah. And I get plenty of questions. You know, I don't know if these guys can talk to the developer. I mean, the guy named Escott on how he going to, you know, what kind of elevations he talk about, how gradual going to be the slopes. Because right on the next to Waikoloa Road, when they made the Waikoloa Road, that's on a speed trap. I don't drive that road. I don't ever try to drive that road because, you know, plenty cops over there and, you know, plenty guys getting tickets. So this road look like it's one shot straight down. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like, one shot straight down. And they even get some keys and barrel sights. I hope that, you know, now I'm just talking, but I hope that, you know, like the Ali Highway, yeah, that was turned down, Harry Kim got shut down.
that they take the time to find the EV and try to make corrections of how to, you know, address the EV. I know you cannot, you know, stop progress. No, they like on straight shot road, you know, who wouldn't? Yeah. But what about the EV when they come to it? How far away are they going? You know, sometimes they're going to have to move the EV. Okay. Are we going to let them move the EV? How far away are we going to let them move the EV? You know, when Harry came with Ali Highway, they didn't want to move the EV. They didn't want to work with the borough council. That's why they got shut down. Now, if this guy, I mean, somebody can put a little message in a birdie's ear that, you know, you come across any EV, you know, you move the road or you move the EV a little bit. So the cultural descendants or the lineal descendants still have access. The road still can go, yeah, but not the road like Ali Highway. They run them over. They wanted to run them over. Run over the graves. 365 days a year, 24/7, cars is going to run over the EV. You know, as far as me, I'm not going to let that happen. I'll fight to the end. So even like the Ali Highway, they keep talking. You know, this guy Rock talking about the Ali Highway. You know, I don't know if you guys know where the Ali Highway is in Keohol, from the Keohol Shopping Center to the Bako Street with a Shell service station. Mm. You know, come on, what traffic that going to stop? Mm. Ain't gonna stop no traffic, you know, unless they make them four lanes all the way from Keohol, Kamehameha Third Road, traffic light all the way to the airport. You know, then, yeah. But, I don't know. I just want to say my piece. Thank you for listening, everybody, being patient with me. And, you know, as far as highways, you move the road, the EV not going to move. Thank you.
Mahalo and Kala. Mahalo always for your wisdom. Thank you. Uncle Desmond?
It's just real business as usual, yeah? You know, they make the decisions, then they come ask us, what do you think?
True.
I mean, you know, that's right, Uncle Desmond. That's a system.
True. That's true.
Yeah, and, you know, my concern is, who is servicing with this highway? Didn't we build a saddle road to better service? Now, according to this report, it's to add more service or more, a quicker time between east and west. I kind of drive the old road. This is kind of fun. Drive slow. Look all the turkeys. You know, that's Hawaii then. You get the nice, you get the, you know, you get today, you go to old road, you get yesterday. You know, and that's the only thing. I read this whole thing. Beautiful, yeah? We actually paid for this, yeah? This is our problem. But it's so funny. It's just the way the system is, yeah, it's set up. They already decided. They already got approved. I don't like I like to be on the bench. I like to be first crew when things like this come up. Yeah. That's the only concern. That's the only discussion I get. It's kind of like handcuffing us, like I said earlier. We don't have much. I get a hard time adjust sales because too small a sale. I'm listening. You know, listen to Uncle Norman. It's a done deal, like with the Mauna, a done deal. Everything is a done deal. Oh, now what you get to say? So we're forced to be who we actually are, yeah? You know, and it's so difficult because it's done. You know, we're going to fight for the EV and, you know, just more bureaucracy, more levels of government control. So I see, you know, no value in this. You know, it's a done deal. It kind of hurts me that we at a kind, yeah, we're getting leftovers. That's it.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui always. Anyone else with regards to this inadvertent, there's 106 consultation?
I've got a question. Clifford? I'm going to direct this to council. So if the Big Line Burial Council finds any type of wrongdoing by anyone, what is our course of action? Do we bring, we litigate as a body of ourselves? Do we do this through SHPTE? How do we right these perceived wrongs?
It depends on what the action is. I mean, what the wrong is. There are some penalties or some enforcement actions that the Attorney General's office can bring. There are some that interested parties can bring. SHPTE may be able to bring some actions, but you know, some of it would go through like the county, because you know, in many instances, when the county issues a permit, one of the conditions of the permit is that they have to follow all of the historic preservation laws. And so if they do not follow it or do not follow that condition, then it would go back to the county to enforce that condition of their permit. And they could then, you know, bring a notice of violation or other action like that. So it depends on what the violation is, that there may be different remedies. So it's a situation by situation determination.
Well, when they submit documentation to the Big Island Burial Council, and we know that it's fraudulent, we've got a fraud case there. And if it's a white rice statue, if it's greater than $750, it becomes criminal. So what is our recourse where we determine fraud on the part of these developers?
If you want to allege fraud as a criminal matter, you'd have to go through the prosecutor's office.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mahalo nui, Clifford. Thank you, Deputy Attorney General. Mahalo nui. Anybody else? Anybody? Yes, Kalena.
I just wanted to say I read through those reports that were submitted for the 106, and I was really concerned and looking at all the sites, and I know they asked for comments on the cultural landscape there. And so I just made sure that I just wanted to see what type of sites they were. And primarily some of the ones that will be destroyed are quarry sites, excavation sites, where they're probably quarrying for birds, baby birds and eggs. And those have been really well documented, and they are plentiful up there in the saddle. There's a couple of caves that aren't in the APA, but I was a little concerned that they might, with the road going nearby, it might make the caves more accessible. So I was going to make a couple of comments like, you know, how are you guys going to mitigate that if now that there's vehicles that are, traversing past these caves are closer, how will you, you know, are you going to do signage, some kind of, I don't know. But I wanted to just also concur with Desmond, Uncle Des, and with Uncle Norm, that the 106 process is just a rubber stamp. I've been to the Navy 106 consultations for sonar testing in the ocean, and there's all these heartfelt, you know, people just sharing all their emotion, and they just stamp it, and then next thing you know, they're off and running, doing their thing, because this is just a governmental protocol to make sure that they had consultation with Native people or the public community. So even though it's like our balloon gets popped and it just feels useless, I still want to put my voice out there so that you know that we're still here and there's a voice. But I didn't see too much that, you know, was going to be off course, considering we need to have transportation on our island. And but I tried to look at the sites and it looked pretty good. And I thought, you know, the work that Glenn provided was good, a good document. That's all I had to say.
Paula, Kalena, forgive that. Sharing with us, especially from that archaeological perspective too that you have, yeah? So mahalo nui for that. Mahalo nui. Okay, anybody else?
Tamara, sorry. I was aware of this project earlier, but I haven't seen the most recent Section 106 documents. But have they agreed to do a cultural landscape report for this? I know we had been recommending that at SHPTE, but no? Yeah. I still would recommend, even though Section 106 sometimes does not create the results that one would hope for, that it would be best to still participate if you're able to, because then if they do change anything, like the APE or anything about the project, then you'll have to be notified. And that does happen sometimes. So, you know, it's, I think your comments are really valuable and important for that. And I'm going to try to take a look at the newest documents as well. So thank you.
Malanui tomorrow. Mal, what do you think? Thank you very much for that. Anybody else? With regards to our inadvertent or 106 rubber stamp consultation. Okay, put that out there. Okay, then if nothing else, then folks, last thing on our agenda is just to mention that our next HIBC meeting will be on Thursday, November 19th, 2020, 9:30 a.m. I'm quite sure the location will be again Zoom. This can just be a I'm going to make a prediction, but anyway, based upon former knowledge, though, of course, yeah. that's about it. Anything else, folks, with regards to our meeting today? Anybody? Before we close and head on our merry ways. Okay. Well, basically, I just want to mahalo again, everybody, for being here, for participating as you always do. I appreciate each and every one of you and everything you do, always have, always will. That's a guarantee. Love you guys. This is how life goes. Hey, and what makes it even more interesting? This realm and the next. That's forever. See? So that's just how, man. As a Kanaka Maoli and as a Kanaka, yeah. As a Hawaiian and as a human being, yeah. So thank you all very much for what you do. It's truly appreciated. Yeah. Please be safe. Stay healthy. Take care of yourselves. Aloha everybody that's around you, not just Kanaka, but everything that's around us. Yeah. Because like I said, one thing that I've enjoyed about COVID is being able to slow things down and start to really smell the maile, smell the lepo, smell the vi, you know, that's been neat. That's been neat. And to reevaluate where we're going, what is the new normal? Yeah. Because the old normal ain't happening. Ain't happening. And again, maybe that's the way of things rectifying themselves, yeah? As the elders always say, YPO, good get floods, boy. It helps to clear out the valley of the two-legged and the four-legged animals, yeah? You know, so that's how. So you got to have those floods because it's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. And that's what it is, yeah? And we got to have those cleansings. So again, I thank everybody very much. Ship it, mahalo for what you guys do. Kea, Christian, and Kahiki, and Tamara. And, of course, our Deputy Attorney General, Linda Chow, mahalo nui for being here again. Truly appreciate it. It sure helps to clarify a lot of things. It's been a godsend. I'm gonna mahalo ke akua, which I always do for the last couple months. I really look forward to seeing you again next month as well.
Next month it probably will be a different deputy AG. But we as long as you guys are doing virtual meetings, we are committed to trying to staff your meetings. So
thank you. Thank you very much. It is greatly appreciated. Mahalo, okay. Mahalo nui. You will be missed, though. I will let you know that. You will be missed.
Can we make a motion to keep her?
That's like, I only miss 1 month.
I like that motion.
No, you'll like the next one, too. She's good, too.
Mahalo. Maybe it's the she's that are beneficial, not the he's. I'm just throwing that out there. Can I call him out? Okay, no, mahalo. Anything else, folks? Anybody? Then if we could have a motion to end our meeting for today, and then I would ask
a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Yeah, motion's been made by Uncle Norman. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, so the motion's been made by Uncle Norman, second by Uncle Desmond, that we end our meeting for today. And before we end, of course, I would also like ask Uncle Desmond if he could send us on our merry way by saying some words. Okay, so all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, if Uncle Desmond, you can send us on our merry way. Mahalo nui.
E puri tato, te mea ho pea, e ere ra ho ia, e te mea whawha ore. O te mau mea moa, to tato e whaahiti i te ia ni, o te pure ia. O te parao no te parao mau, to Yesu, e parao, i to nametua, i roto i te pure. Maruru te atua, maruru o te atua, tini atua. Ame au matua. Amene.
Mahalo, everybody. Aloha. Aloha. Aloha, everybody. Malama pono. Be safe.
The next time we meet with Ava.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. This Ava light is not working, man.
Mahalo, no kapule, anakala.
Mahalo.
Ahuyo oko. Ahuyo malama pono. Aloha.
Ahuyo.
Ahuyo. Aloha.
Aloha. Ahuyo.